weather is what we had the last couple of weeks. And we appreciate you being here. We appreciate you taking interest in town business. And our special guest, Reverend Joey Kennedy, is in the back. He's going to lead us in the invocation. Or give me an invocation.
Father, we come to you acknowledging your greatness. You are indeed a mighty God, and we humble ourselves before you. And we thank you for the privilege of gathering here as a community and just doing the business that is necessary. We thank you for, of course, our leaders that you have blessed us with. We believe that. And government in a whole that you have created and instituted, Lord. We thank you for that. We pray tonight for direction. We thank you for those who have given and labored so diligently over the years for Curie Beads, and pray that you'll bless all of those that have been involved, and especially our leaders now, for continued wisdom on their part, for just giving strength to do all that they have to do every moment for us. I pray that Curie Beads will just be a tremendous example to the rest of our state, even of how a community is to be run. Pray especially tonight, Lord, for our fire department and our police department, Lord. We thank you have blessed us tremendously with them, men and women who have just dedicated so much and given so much for this area, this community. We're grateful for them. I pray your hand will be upon them as well. And all everybody that makes up our leadership here, Lord, we pray that you'll bless them and give them strength. And tonight, Lord, that you will be lifted up and glorified even as we conduct business in this place. Again, we are grateful for all who lead us. Would you bless them? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you can join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Warrington, you have a presentation to council. Maybe not.
By accepting this brochure, you all are assigned to number 2.
Okay. It's that time again, guys. Emily Swearingen with Special Olympics. And the Polar Plunge is coming up on Saturday, February the 20th. It's on the island again, down at Carolina Beach, right down by the gazebo. So we invite everybody to come, but we particularly invite our mayor and town council to plunge. The mayor of Carolina Beach will be plunging, as will be the mayor of
mayor thing.
And I understand that Jason Thompson, chairman of our county commissioners, hopefully will be there not only plunging, but he's trying to put a team together, which we're excited about. And hopefully we'll have some representatives from the sheriff's department also. So we've got... We'd love to have a team.
What's your shirt in white?
Gee, right here, sir. Sign your name and put it on your mouth.
We're hoping we have a little bit of competition here between Tim Fuller, who has plunged with us almost every single year, our very first plunge down in Wrightsville Beach, and our mayor over in Carolina Beach, as to see which town can raise the most money for Special Olympics.
Oh.
And it is tax deductible. And we'd love to have the fire department. Now, those of you who are coming from the town need to be there at least by 2 o'clock on the 20th. but the plunge activities do start around 11 o'clock that morning. So we would love for any of the town residents to come out. We do have an auction that a lot of the businesses here on and off the island are participating in. And we have a costume contest and a band, and so we'd love to have you down there. And I understand our mayor might be out there holding a towel for Jim when he comes out of the ward.
Yes.
Okay. We would enjoy that.
I have two cinder blocks tied to it.
Otherwise, if I can answer any questions, I'll be glad to.
Can you explain a little bit for anybody who doesn't know about Special Olympics?
Yeah,
what y'all
do
here in New Hanover, Canada?
Yeah, we've had it on the island here for so many years now, I tend to forget there might be some new people. But Special Olympics, New Hanover County Special Olympics, started the Polar Plunge in Wrightsville Beach, I want to say either 4 or 5 years ago. And I'm looking because Jonathan Bass, who's the coordinator for Special Olympics, who is supposed to be here tonight, he's on his way. Special Olympics has, I want to say, about 600 athletes, between 600 and 800 athletes in the county. We have spring games in April, which about 400 of athletes participate in, and we usually have about 250 volunteers there, and we're always looking for additional volunteers for that and for coaching. There's bowling in addition to the spring games where you have, you know, a lot of track and field, things like that. We also have bowling and basketball and soccer and softball and all those games during the year. And we also have a sports expo in the fall to give some of the new athletes an opportunity to try out different kinds of sports. The Polar Plunge, last year we had about, I think it was about three, Jonathan would be able to tell you, I think it was three, it might have been 400 people plunging. We did have 500 people the year before, but because of the economy and all, we had a smaller group. We netted $40,000 last year, and are hoping now that the economy is coming back, hoping to do that again this year. And that money, you know, goes to pay strictly for the athletes. None of it goes to administration. And we also have a summer camp now for special athletes, which was started as a result of a grant from the Kennedy Foundation. And that was as a result of Jonathan Bass being selected as one of the coordinators of the year in the country.
Gentlemen, on the consent agenda, we have a resolution to support the fourth law project that Emily is discussing now. With your permission, I'll go ahead and give her the resolution, and I'll read it to the audience, and, you know, rather than have her come back up. Here it is,
hey, just in time. This is Jonathan Bass, the County Coordinator for Special Olympics, our mayor.
Hey,
this is the resolution. This is from the Town of Cary Beach. Resolution by the Town Council of the Town of Cary Beach, Special Olympics Day. Whereas the Special Olympics of New Hanover County provides an important and worthwhile service to all the citizens of New Hanover County. And whereas the citizens of Cary Beach and Cary Beach Town Council are desirous of supporting the Special Olympics of New Hanover County. And whereas the Special Olympics Polar Plunge is an important fundraising event for Special Olympics of New Hanover County. And whereas the Special Olympics Polar Plunge is a special and worthwhile event for the residents of Pleasure Island that contributes to the social and business community of Pleasure Island. Now therefore, let it be resolved by the Town Council of the Town of Cary Beach that on February 20th, 2010, is hereby declared to be Special Olympics Day in Cary Beach, and all Cary Beach residents are encouraged to support and participate in Special Olympics activities. Adopted this day, the 19th day of January, 2010. Thank you.
what to say, but thank you. You guys, Mr. Fuller here was he's been supporting us here for a while, and this is our sixth year, and it just took off. I mean, once we moved to Carolina Beach, we did it elsewhere our first year, and the four years after we moved to Carolina Beach, and Matt, it was a blessing in disguise for us, because it has supported us. It's our only fundraiser we do for the year. In New Hanover County, we have over 600 athletes, and we do programs for Russell County as well as Center County too. They come down and participate in our swim events and track and field, for the fact that they don't have the facilities and the means necessary to participate. So altogether, that being said, we have over 800 athletes that are involved in our program. And this event, last year we raised over $40,000, which is, and 100% of that money goes to our programs, and it allows us to do, we do 13 sports along with summer camp. We do three dances, three socials a year. And I don't know how, what more I can say besides thank you guys so much for all your support. And we're excited to be back down here February 20th. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sean here. Sean, you're back.
You must have got a haircut. Sean, one of our volunteers as well.
Good evening, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Sean Cook. I'm representing Pleasure Island Rentals at 2 North Lake Park Boulevard in Carolina Beach. I'd like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to come in front of you guys this evening. Hopefully you were able to get my letter that I sent each one of you on Thursday, or I dropped off on Thursday, and was able to review that. I presented somewhat, pretty similar to what I'm presenting to you this evening 2 years ago, to the mayor, to the commissioners. In Carolina Beach for the last 10 years, we've driven a John Deere Gator up and down the beach, renting out shares and umbrellas to shorts and boats. Of those 10 years, we've had no major known complaints to the police department. We've had no major problems. On top of that, all of our operators of the Gator are CPR certified, and we've assisted in, I haven't kept count, but numerous saves after 5 o'clock. We're usually on the beach when lifeguards get up. What I'm asking the town for is, and I haven't done the fullest research on it, but is the opportunity to pass the town line and to come into Curry Beach early in the morning with the John Deere Gator and set up chairs and umbrellas for rentals of Curry Beach residents and visitors. As of right now, and as of the last 6 years that I've owned the business, we've had to do that by truck, which gas, insurance, oil, employee time, and then congestion also. And then we also have to charge them an extra fee for that. The John Deere Gator, if you guys all have practice with it, is pretty non-intrusive. It stays up high, stays up on the high tide line as far up as possible. We never take it below or drive in front of anyone. It tops out at about 8 miles an hour. A fast walker can walk by it. We also, one of the reasons that we're asking is that as rentals in the Curry Beach area have really skyrocketed over the last few years, and we're servicing them more with surfboards and kayaks and such, and chairs and umbrellas, a lot of them don't want to pay the extra charge. So when they get a weekly rental, they just want us to take the chairs and umbrellas and dump them off on their porch, and they set them up each day. We get a lot of wind, as we all know, on this beach, and we place the umbrellas in the ground each morning with an auger and a drill. And this is a huge safety concern. We had some folks last year who rented an umbrella from us, and they wanted to put it in themselves each week because they wanted to stay out later in the evenings and use the umbrella. They didn't put it in well enough, flew down the beach and hit a child. That was That was an absolute extreme case of what could go wrong in that situation. The letter that I've written to you guys pretty much sums up what I'm asking for. I don't know what is in your ordinance. I know you guys have ATVs on the beach for the lifeguards. I know that, I believe that Prairie Beach has a John Deere Gator that they use for either the fire department and ocean rescue. I believe theirs is souped up a little more than mine is, because like I said, ours is not fast by any means. So at this evening, what I'm asking for is a chance to give it a shot for a season and allow me to come into down Prairie Beach, set up chairs and umbrellas, and see how it goes at that point.
Any discussion? Any questions for Sean?
No.
For Sean.
From the board?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a few. First off, I appreciate, you know, the fact that you're an enterprising young man. But if you'll remember, this is not the first time that you've been turned down.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Part of the reason is because of which currently we have a big problem with the amount of beach space we have. I don't think you went to any of our committees like beach protection or PNC or even our building inspector to query them as to what their feelings might be toward somebody going up and down the our beach strand. Personally, I don't know, it might be interesting. I might want to start selling ice cream cones or some other thing by running up and down the beach. But I don't know that that would be quite appropriate. There's a big safety issue here. And I would say, myself personally, unless you've got all of the other committees and the fire department, police department, everybody else to sign on, I don't see that I could support it.
Yes, sir, I understand that. I don't particularly see where the building inspector comes into play on this, but
he is one of the enforcement officers.
Okay. As of right now, from my understanding, you guys have multiple ATVs that reach speeds of 30, 35 miles an hour. That's a concern. 8 miles an hour and walking faster doesn't seem like a concern to me, but I'll go through any links that I need to make my way to County Prairie Beach happen. Like I said, we stay up top. We're very non-intrusive. We don't hit dunes. We don't make any new ruts that have not already been made by four-wheelers or your EMT gators. And then as far as how much beach we have, we run into that main problem. The north end of Carolina Beach, as you can imagine. And certain places, Alabama Avenue, for instance, there's no beach there. Well, if somebody wants a chair and an umbrella in that spot, I mean, it's pretty common sense we can't put that there. You know, every morning we go out there and see where the high tide line is. As you said, Commissioner Miller, I'll do whatever I have to do, and I'm glad to speak with whomever. I'd just like some guidance in this situation. I'm asking for approval, but I'll do whatever means necessary in order to get there.
Well, yes, sir, and I appreciate what you're trying to do. The only problem is, or one of the major problems I see, is that if we allow you as a commercial entity to do this, we would have open up the tide for any commercial entity that wanted to sell things on the beach to go up and down there.
Yes, sir. South Carolina Beach ran the same problem. And the way that we divided this was they wrote up the ordinance at Beach Services, which is servicing, we're leasing, we're renting out chairs and umbrellas. We're not selling anything. We're not selling ice cream. We're not selling Pepsis. We're not selling pizzas. And then they have a vending, which is selling the goods, suntan lotions, Pepsis, so on and so forth. But what we're doing is we're leasing something. Or, and at the same time, we're not necessarily driving down the beach for the mayor to wave me down and say, hey, let me give you some money, I'd like to share an umbrella. These folks have already called us. And these folks are already standing here at the beach. And we're already coming down to put up these chairs and umbrellas. This is just an easier access for my business, one, and two, there's a long list of how it makes it easier on my business, but at the same time, I would say there's a long list of how it helps out the town of Curry Beach with people being able to see the service provided. You know, those folks that have rented it already know that. You know, and they've already called us, and we go directly to their home, and we put that right out in front. But folks staying in other spots see us come down the beach and know that we offer this. I believe it's a huge amenity.
What are your normal working hours? When would you be on and off the beach?
We start running, Mayor, we start running in July. We start running about 6:30 in the morning, putting up reservations. And we usually finish with our reservations by 9. Then we begin picking up at 5. And we usually finish up with count. We have people cheering on the count every day. Theft and people breaking them and taking them off the beach is an issue. And then it usually ends around 9. But as of right now, all I'm asking for is first thing in the morning till 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then start picking up from 5 on. In Carolina Beach, we're allowed to drive up and down all day and run out as people wave us down. I'm not asking for that right now. What I'm asking for is to be able to come in the morning, put up those reservations, come down in the evening, pick up those reservations.
John or Andy, you want to?
Well, I know we have an ordinance that's complete, but the ordinance has some time frame in it, too. So does this require an ordinance change?
No, sir. Sure would.
Harold, you or Dennis, you want to like your comment?
I'd like to discuss it with department heads in one of our meetings.
Concerned possibly with
any action.
Along with that, turn this over to the appropriate committee.
I think a memo to each committee would be appropriate.
Which is the
committee? Well, I know with about 3 of them that would be appropriate. You got P&Z, you've got beach protection that would have a say in it. You've got the beach access and parking would have a say in it because you're going to have to get beach accesses that are beach accesses. Is that correct?
No, sir.
Oh, so we're coming straight down the beach. You never go off of any of the accesses.
No, sir.
The emergency accesses or anything else.
No, sir.
I'd like to include the marketing committee.
Okay, well, that would be fine, too.
What ATVs do we currently use? Are they currently all town vehicles?
Yes.
And on what occasions do they go 30 miles an hour? Do they go on a rescue?
If they're at a rescue and people's lives are at stake, yeah, they can run up as far as 25 miles an hour.
Where do you find somebody who can walk 8 miles an hour? Because all I can do is cover 4.
Maybe I'll stretch my eyes there. I was just thinking 8 was a little far for
it. You may be talking about this Olympic ski. I'm not sure there's anybody in Curry Beach is going to look for you.
They're moving pretty good around that lake right now when it's cold.
Do the worst way. Do we have an application form or something like this where an ordinance amendment to request that somebody consider it, or is there some way for a citizen to request something? That's where
I should question y'all.
He's looking at you when he said that, John.
That is a question. A citizen of 3, just a citizen.
Well, anybody can request it. Something came up earlier today in connection with the committees is we need to give them some guidance if we're going to refer this to them about the issues that are involved, the things that they need to consider, the questions of the council, and the appropriate steps that need to be taken. I don't think we should just say, hey, you know, go call someone. She goes along with it, we'll go along with it.
She's not going to be here for another month anyway.
There you go. So I don't think it's safe to say we should refer to the committee. We should have
to relate to the department heads to get back to us and then move forward with it. John?
Sir?
You've got a while before the tour season starts. How about that? Just mull this over a little bit and we'll get back with you.
Absolutely, Mayor. Is there a contact person in particular that I can speak with to see the progression?
Chuck. Chuck Keener.
264 826 826
I'll track him down. I'm pretty persistent.
He's the most noted person in your town hall. So.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he'll keep the wood. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you guys very much for your time this evening.
Thank you. Thanks. And persons to address, we have Jenny Gantz.
I want to give you guys a few things for you. Mr. Fuller, don't want to leave you out. Mr. Nelson would want to leave you out.
Thank you so very much.
And I'd also like to give you the other task that you have to look at. I think I'll explain to you why I'm giving you this.
Do you have any that we can pass up to the audience?
What, these?
Yeah.
No, I couldn't bring any more than one more.
All right.
But I'll be glad to get you whatever you'd like to have. How's that? The reason I'm coming to you folks tonight is I'm the president and founder of Saving Animals During Disasters, which, as you know, is home base here in Carolina Beach. And this started right after Hurricane Katrina, and after being in South, realized we had to come up with a better way of moving these animals out of disaster situations. And in the process of looking into it for North Carolina, realized nobody, absolutely nobody, had a disaster trailer capable of moving animals east of Raleigh that we have been able to find. So the first thing it is, jump in there, get us a trailer, get it rigged where we can move animals with air conditioning units and then backup air conditioning units in case something were to go wrong on the road and you've got 40 dogs in the back of a trailer. Last thing you want to have go wrong, heat temperature of 110 degrees is everybody stuck in a trailer and cooking alive. So what we did is Saving Animals During Disasters, what it does is mainly when there is not a natural disaster such as the hurricane. We work all the time with man-made disasters, and what I'm coming to you tonight with is about man-made disasters. Now, I also wanted to tell you, I guess all you guys are familiar with the first annual starting balls we did last October down at Carolina Beach. The town of Carolina Beach came to us, and they only had 10 weeks to put this together, and frankly, I thought we lost our minds, and I'm sure I lost my mind, but either way, in 10 weeks, as everybody saw, we put together one heck of a darn festival, to say the least. We had about 1,500 people attend. We had over 60 vendors. And we didn't even know a vendor when we started that. And on top of that, we had more animals than could possibly be counted coming in and out of it. There were no problems. It was a great revenue generator, something to generate more revenue for the town. And it is just, it's amazing the response we've gotten on this. And next year, the County of Carolina Beach has given the answer to yes, all means ordered again. And we would like for you folks, in the meantime, be thinking of how would y'all like to participate? We want Curie Beach to participate more so that, you know, you could be aware of what's going on. Now, the reason I gave you the picture of the billboard is, like I said, Saving Animals During Disasters tries to focus on the things these rescue groups don't have the time, don't have the money to do. And one of the things we so desperately needed to have up is billboards. Now, these billboards, these particular two are in Jacksonville and Brunswick County. The reason being is these are some of the counties that feed New Hanover County and the beach area is some of our biggest problems. Because nobody spays or neuters. Nobody worries about puppy mills. It's just, in general, a real problem. So, for the time being, these are two of our hottest areas, and that's why we have gone in connection with Fairway Billboards, who was generous enough to donate the billboards. And we bought the billboards today, or the designs, and they put them up. In the meantime, Guilford County, which is Winston, High Point, and Greensboro, have taken our billboards and followed suit. And also, it looks like Johnson County may be doing the same thing. So basically, what we're doing is we're leading the way to change things for the better of everybody. New Hanover County keeps that disaster trailer under contract from me for $1 for all service fees. And I don't want any money for it, but they have to do something, so it's a dollar. But, of course, they understand if that trailer is needed somewhere else, more it will go to whatever area that is needed the most. What we're coming to you about tonight is we have a severe problem, especially going into the breeding season for cats on this island. We are doing everything, folks, we can. As you can see in front of you, there is a list of the organizations, Friends of Felines, Adopt an Angel, Cattails, Carolina Beach Animal Hospital, Fair Rainbow Fonts, and Saving Animals. And this is nowhere near, believe me, this doesn't even a drop in the bucket But this is the money we have raised and been putting out every single year out of our own pockets trying to solve this problem. However, grants are drying up, things are getting tighter, people are abandoning more animals, you've got more nuts moving to the beach, they like kittens, them and them leave, God forbid they ever spay or neuter anybody, they just throw them out and leave them. And the bottom line is we've got cats, 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 and cats. It's like Dr. Benil at Animal Control said, the answer is not sending them to Animal Control. Every animal we send to Animal Control, if there is absolutely nothing wrong, it costs the taxpayers a minimum of $75 per cat. Folks, we could stay and neuter them and get all their shots for $35, and we're willing to do that. In fact, Mr. Lambert, I think a good friend of yours, Miss Jamie Withers, Jamie Ivan, said to tell you hello and said that that she knew you would understand. And Chuck, I know you're a cat person, so I know you certainly understand. What Jamie did is she went to Oak Island and asked them for $5,000 for their spay neuter program, and they were so gracious as to give her the money that was needed. We went to Carolina Beach the other night and asked them for $2,500, and we got a very positive response, and we're pretty sure we've got it. In fact, they told us to come down here and tell you folks, they challenge you guys to match them. A lot of our problems are down here in Curie Beach or down around the rocks, the museum, and these areas. You know, everybody thinks you're a beach with fish and every cat in the world can live down here, which, of course, we all know that's not the case. In fact, Joey and I, the last four cats we dealt with in the last 4 days, every one of them originated out of Curie Beach. And we're still trying to deal with this woman who thinks she don't have to have the male fix all the female limbs, like that's going to solve the problem. She's got three more. And this is just one person. We run into a lot of very eccentric people that will feed them, feed them, feed them. That's great. But it don't help anybody if we're not getting them fixed. If they'll feed them until they're dead, we'll fix them. And every year, because of the rabies scare, we try to recapture these cats in a colony. And by state law, you know, in compliance with the North Carolina state law, we try to revaccinate everybody all over again until they die. Now, what it comes down to is this. Last year, just for 2009, we did 237 cats. And I'll tell you something, folks, that ain't even dropped in the bucket of what we've got. And you can see most of the places were $35, $55 per cat. Now, each doctor operates differently. Like for Friends of Felines, what Joey and them do is they buy their own vaccinations, and the vet does the spay and neuter for $25, and then $10 goes to the vaccinations. We have Port City Animal and Carolina Beach Animal Hospital and different ones like that who volunteer as much time as they possibly can to these programs, for which we are very grateful because we cannot get the funding to do this. However, this does not include, like any of these costs. These costs don't include one with a broken leg or one with an eye missing. Or, like, that's been a lot of our problems lately, just like with pelicans with broken wings. We're running into a lot of them, the two gray-haired kittens in Carolina Beach, where they just broke their legs and put out five kittens in 2 cave crates on the boardwalk. So there again, we still got a lot more medical bills than just the spay and neuter one I'm making. Also not included in this is the trap food, the trap, the gas, time to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth to check the trap and get these animals to the vet and then pick them up from the vet, and all the other costs that go into that we ask for nothing on. Here's the really scary part. Cats can go to the heat 3 times per year, producing an average of 4 kittens per litter. One female cat and her babies can produce up to 420,000 kittens in 7 years. Right now, with the grants getting tighter and the money, people, you know, abandon their animals more, we're slipping backwards. We're not going forwards at all. It's like we're in a flooded boat and we're trying to dip the water out of the Dixie cup as fast as we can go. And don't get me wrong, we've done a great job, but we need help. We are requesting $2,500 from the town of Curie Beach to aid the feral and stray cat programs with spay, neuter, and vaccinate. Carolina Beach has written their request the same amount of funds, and the outcome there looks positive. Saving Animals During Disaster is a nonprofit organization based out of Carolina Beach. All funds will be used for cats only on Pleasure Island. The money will not leave this island. It will just be for our cats alone. And that's what we're coming to you and asking you about. So I want to introduce you also to Joy Needham, who is the head of Friends of Felines in Bless Her Heart. I don't know how this guy's role she's kept her sanity, because
some of the people we work with, I'm going to tell you, they're over the edge. And it's hard to get them to understand that we really need to trap and neuter all these cats. So I'm going to introduce you to Jill and Needham, head of Friends of Felines. And if you could ask us whatever you'd like to ask us, so we can do whatever it takes to get this problem taken care of, we'd appreciate it.
I think Jeannie pretty much summed up most of it. We have a lot of problems. One thing that she didn't hit on is that both in Carolina Beach and in Cherry Beach, we have what we call hoarders. People who have them both inside and outside of their house. They're feral, they're semi-feral, some of them are friendly, and they can't afford to do spay or neuter them. And they just keep reproducing. We want to stop the cycle. We want to break it. Friends of Felines is a spay or neuter and vaccinate with rabies and distemper program for feral cats. Feral cats are defined as wild cats. Cats you can't pick up. The ones behind Harvey, the ones behind McDonald's, the ones that are in people's backyards that you just can't grab.
And in the rocks.
And in the rocks. And when I saw you, when you kind of made it look like the rocks, and I was like, yes, we have a major problem over at the rocks and over where the condos are over there. When people leave those condos, every year we go in and we spay or neuter at least 25 cats over in that just one area. Because people will call and say, hi, guess what? Someone dumped 3 mama cats with kittens. You know, and they drop them out and she's in heat, and so we have to go over and get them. So it's a major problem for the entire island, because once they're on this island, they don't get off. It's not like they can go across.
Is this Friends of Felines, weren't they having some financial stripes here not too long ago?
Yes, we were, because we, like Gene said, our funding donations are down because of the economy. The grants are drying up. People with some of the places we've applied for grants, they've denied. We still do have some grants that are out, but we're still in business. They kind of made a little bit worse, which is thankfully, because we did get quite a few donations because of it. But no, we're still in business, but we need the money. This is why we come to you guys, because we do need more money. I mean, we don't have enough to keep doing it all by ourselves anymore because of the economy. The economy is so bad in donations. But that's why we're coming to the different municipalities to ask them, hey, can you help out? We've been helping, you know, here, I mean, like on the island in the past, I think it was 6 years, we've put out almost $25,000 on this island only. That's just us from our donation. And that was only one group. That's not including Saving Animals for Disasters, Adopt an Angel, Cattails, anyone who has taken the kittens that we have pulled off of the island. You know, because we don't take kittens, but if they're young enough, we pull them out of here. We get them gone. We get them into homes and stuff like that, to rescue groups. So we're kind of like a networking system with Saving Animals During Disasters, Cattails, which is an adoption group, Adopt an Angel, which is also an adoption group. And there's, you know, depending on what type of problems there are, we try to alleviate the problems, nuisance problems, things like that. So.
Thank you.
One other thing about
So is there any discussion from anybody?
Any other questions?
We have a form, and I see that you're a nonprofit.
Right.
And I saw this from the IRS in the back. There's a form that would be necessary for y'all to fill out before we could move forward.
Okay, where do we get it?
If you'll contact Casey, or give her your contact number, you want, she'll get it to you.
All right, that's no problem. We'll be glad to do that. Folks, we really do appreciate it. I think y'all realize I can tell by the way everybody's acting, you guys realize we got a major problem. And the bottom line is we're doing everything we can. And the answer is not to kill everybody. It's just ridiculous when we can stay and neuter everybody for half price and vaccinate them. So we need the cats on the island because the bottom line, especially up in Carolina Beach around the boardwalk area, and down here, I'm sure it's the same. We have so much trash in the summertime. It'd be like New York when they thought the idea was to get rid of all the feral cats. And then a month later, they're out and they're trying to get feral cats from all those surrounding towns because the rats were taking them away up there. Well, that's exactly where we see. These cats do provide for us. And we would like to ask the police department and the law down here, if you think there is someone down here abandoning these animals, let's take it to the limits. Let's go ahead and go after these people. Because it's the same ones over and over and over and over again quite often. They're doing the same thing. And I can tell you, the next billboard we will be putting up will be on I-40, and it will say if you see animal abuse, you should be looking for child abuse, and if you see child abuse, you should be looking for animal abuse, because the bottom line is if they abuse one, they're certainly going to abuse the other just about every single time. So we're, once again, hope y'all support our efforts. God knows we're trying, and if you could, we promise you we'll do the best we can. And if we can do, oh, one other thing, this also puts us in a position, from what we're understanding, Jamie's my leader on this because she's the whiz kid on the grants and stuff of this nature, that this puts us in a position where we might can get some educational grants. And what Carolina Beach has asked us to do is we work with them, like on the boardwalk on family night, where we set up a booth and we start trying to educate these people in these outer counties that just don't get it. You know, and so if there's something we could do to help you folks, any festival, if you want that disaster trailer or anything else, we'd be more than happy to do it. All we need to know is just what we could do to help you folks, and we'll be here. That's just the
question. That's great. That's what I need to have to do. We're there
in a meeting tomorrow.
All means do, and my number's on Jackson, and y'all's going to
know. Jeannie, you understand that when you submit the form of case, it'd be at the next month's meeting before council could act.
Yeah. That's okay.
I just didn't know because you know, we're getting started on our budget process.
Right.
That form is simply a formal request, and then it would work its way through the chain and get to the council. So it'll be at least a month before we act.
That's fine. That's fine. We just realized we're going into kitten season, and we want to be there to head off every single one we possibly can. I'm tired of trapping and going to events every other day, it seems like. Now, do y'all want to keep those pictures with billboards, or
do
y'all?
Back.
Okay, yeah. If you don't need them. Isn't that wonderful? We're the leaders in this. It looks like North Carolina. That's right. Thanks, so
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next thing on the agenda is approval of the consent agenda. Do you want to have any questions or
questions? I don't know. Council handbook. What are you asking us to do?
The only thing is we have individually, when each of the items that's in here has come up, we voted on it and okayed it. So this is all policy and everything. Just as the new council to do the same thing. It won't affect, obviously, depending on what we do as far as form of government, everything is going to have some changes. It doesn't stop or slow down or change anything that we could continue to do.
Well, that parallels mine, number 7 under new business, because that's the handbook, as it stands now, is filled with references to the town administrator.
Right.
And as we found out Saturday, we don't have a town administrator. We don't even have a position anymore. But
I'm okay with you, right?
Can we discuss it all together?
Yeah, that's fine. Because everything in here has already been passed. So I saw it as basically a housekeeping.
Jim, do you want to delete item number 7?
I don't want to delete it.
Just move it to new business.
Yeah, it can be brought up under
actually, there may be a couple others we can combine too, because
once we get to that section. And everybody understood the thing from Dare County, the resolution?
Yeah, I did, but just a question or two. One of the things that I'm looking at is, and great, as a homeowner, I like it, I really do, but it seems to me also that we're asking the community of the state, or the insurance companies, or the state insurance groups, to pay for people who have built in areas that they shouldn't have built in.
Well, talking with their attorney, their problem is when this is like oysters and things like that, that would come in that are not named storms and make these structures uninhabitable, that they think that the federal government. Some of these are not, I think, overbuilt. Some of it is just, you know, on several occasions, people have been here a while and we've had some oysters that have been here the time of year. They would be classified as a cross.
And I do like the idea that this, if it goes forward, will allow for the removal before there becomes the ultimate damage to the property.
Other than that, y'all ready to approve the consent agenda?
Are we approving the general policy for procedures for committees?
But that was just what we're doing later on in the office election. Okay, I'm sorry. Gotcha.
So this is the approval of the consent agenda minus number 7, which we're going to talk about later. Approved as part of.
Barry, we might get you a larger mask over there. You got stuff spread.
Motion to approve the motion.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Agenda's, consent agenda is approved. Adoption of the agenda, old business. Oh, excuse me. Okay. I got to have myself. I'm sorry. The old agenda package we had when we approved the consent agenda, there was always a section there for comments from department heads, and we somehow deleted that. And I know in particular tonight, Sunday has a couple updates on the sewer rehab project. So, John, why don't you put this back in our agenda form for department head comments?
Yep. I'm always happy to hear from Sunday.
He's such a nice guy. And he got
more great Harold?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
John.
John.
Harold's always awesome.
Speaker. Are y'all going to adopt the agenda after this?
Pardon?
Are you guys going to adopt the agenda after this presentation?
We adopted the consent agenda.
But the agenda.
Well, the normal form is after the agenda.
Well, I'd like to adopt the change in the agenda to have before we adopt the general agenda.
All in favor? All opposed?
Thank you. 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 Attached is a copy of a letter that was sent to property owners affected with change in garbage collection schedule. If you'll look on, if you'll turn it over, you'll see the letter that we sent to the property owners. Basically, this is just saying that as property owners on Fort Fisher Boulevard North, Spotters Court, and also Atlantic Avenue, they will start on February the 1st, which is Monday. February 1st, the garbage collection day will be Mondays instead of Tuesdays. The information that you see in this letter was sent to all the property owners affected. Also, the information was on was placed in the newsletter, and also it's on our town server. So hopefully everybody will have the information. I know that understand there will be a learning curve on this, and if there's any property owners that forget the first couple of weeks, just give us a call. We'll be glad to come back and get it. Does council have any questions on that?
Have you gotten anything from citizens here? Positive or negative?
We've had a few phone calls, and really no negatives about it. I think it's going to do a couple of things for us. So, like I said in the letter, I think it's going to help us on our heavier workloads that we were having on Tuesdays that we were running. Sometimes we were running late. We weren't getting finished till 4:30. Actual putting time was 3:30 in summer times. And doing this will allow us to reduce the workload on Tuesday and hopefully be able to complete work on a regular schedule, so at 3:30, at least not 3:30. So that's going to help us on some overtime hours. The other thing I think is going to help us is may help John, too, with some cleanup on Fort Fisher Boulevard. This is what we're going to be doing, is all the garbage will be picked up on Fort Fisher Boulevard on Mondays. This will allow us to take a look and make sure everybody's pulling their cans back. And hopefully, that'd be one less day that all the garbage is piled up on Fort Fisher Boulevard too. So I think that's going to help us clean up a little bit of the problem that way.
doesn't require any pencil action.
No, I'll hold it. Fine.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. The second thing that I'll give you, I'll just read you this memorandum. On Monday, January the 25th, the contractor will begin, this is dealing with our sewer rehab work. The contractor will begin to place well points around the area of the point repair in front of the post office. The entrance off of Fort Fisher Boulevard will be closed at least Monday through Thursday. So we're going to be closing off the post office Monday through Thursday on Fort Fisher Boulevard. So you're going to have to come around the back way down the avenue to get to the post office.
So the post office will be open, but the front?
Post office will be open.
Access.
The post office access from Fort Fisher Boulevard will be closed. The post office itself will be open, and you'll be able to get to it from M Avenue the back way.
You can see it from here.
Right. The point repair will include the installation to do a sewer line and manhole. Wednesday, January 27th, they'll be working continuously through the night, if necessary, in order to complete the work, so they don't have to close the trench up and reopen it.
This late in the season, I don't see where they'd be for us.
Well, I'm hoping it won't be there. And on Wednesday the 27th, the southbound lane at Fort Fisher Boulevard North between N Avenue and M Avenue will be closed to traffic and be routed down N Avenue to 3rd Avenue to L Avenue back to Fort Fisher Boulevard North. So all we're doing is coming down, we'll have Fort Fisher Boulevard North closed off, heading south. They'll go down N Avenue, come down 3rd Avenue, they'll exit back out, take a left on L Avenue, bypassing N Avenue, where most of the work is going to be done at the post office, and they'll come back out at Fort Fisher Boulevard.
Is the contractor going to put up any signage?
All the signage, all that will be taken care of by the contractor, and it'll be well signed and all that. If you take a look at the second page, this is a flyer that Public Works Department will be putting on the doors and stuff of the area affected. To let them know there is going to be a sewer project working through the night. We gave them our number to call if they have any problems. We'll have the supervisor, the contractor superintendent, going knocking on doors. Knocking on both of the doors in that area, letting the property owners know what's going on and answering any questions that they have. And that's it. Have any questions on that?
No, I think Mr. Bonner back there. I hope James and his garbage did that day. I believe he has some of the problems that we've seen for a long time.
Going to be the same thing that we have under number two, new business. So I would recommend that you drop number one and under new business drop 2B, omitted.
And 2B is the one that's
the Board of Adjustment.
Right. Under old business and
your so we got number one under old business.
Yes, sir.
And number 2B.
Number 2B, that's pretty good. And then, under new business, my number 7 was the town council handbook. Number 7 for me, I got a sentence. I don't know if that would fit into James number 4, so we could combine those.
Yeah, my discussion is basically repetition of what we've been through. So you can
combine number 7 and number 4 and consolidate that.
is on new business.
Or new business.
Or, sir, okay, we're taking 4 and 7 at the same time.
Under new business, I'd like to add the item number 12. Down Island Lights in Sunny. I assume you've got to get out here, but this is something I need to keep you on the loop on. Do we need to move that up? Would we be okay to move that up to the front and I'd get a comment from Sunny Lights?
I'll be glad to stay.
Alright. And then item 13, under there, like that. And just putting out the calls for training in the suburb. I'd like to discuss some scheduling problems with some of the town staff. I didn't want to take any minutes, nothing. Any other changes?
Second.
All in favor? Signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The agenda is adopted. Okay. Under all business, Commissioner Fuller revised general policy and procedures for commissioners. Ms. Mayor, Governor Chief, at the Community Center last week, we had a really long discussion about committees and how the committees work together with the town council, and we talked about some additional requirements and some loosening of some requirements for the committees. And we have in the handbook that Jim is referring to, we have a general policy and procedure for committees. As a result of our discussion at the retreat, I took the language in this existing policy and general procedures and updated it to include the new language. That draft was submitted for the other council members. And what I would like to suggest is, I don't want us to adopt this tonight, but I would like to suggest, at the suggestion of Mayor Pro Tem Keener, that we refer this to all of the committees and let the committees review it and report back to council if they have any additional recommendations or any questions or comments about it. But I would like us to ask the committees to assume that something close to this is going to be adopted and act accordingly.
So we'll be having a discussion of it after we get the feedback from the committee. Most of what Tim has done is almost all of it is existing language. There's been some tightening up and some additions and stuff, but I think there won't be any problem or big problem running the committees under the existing rules while we wait for the feedback from the committees.
Would you like to give them some type of a timeline to get this right so we can review it before?
Well, I certainly like it back by sometime for our February meeting.
Well, I mean, when was the last meeting before we had a town council meeting? Tuesday night before, Monday night? It's, case of meeting Monday night before the council meeting.
Can you pull that out? Before the meeting? Marketing committee meets that day, but you don't have another committee meeting after the county council meeting in February. They're all before. But that's true. Beach Protection's canceled their meeting.
I February 9th.
They're all meeting by that day?
if they can get them back to me the Wednesday before when the agenda items are due, that would be perfect. So by noon on the 10th?
Could we put this on the website and we're told?
I can distribute it email.
Yeah.
I can send it to you.
Question. I was going to discuss finance at this point. Do you want to do that separately?
Finance.
Sure.
Why well, let's do you want to act with this before we put it in, or is it already?
No, I don't.
So, the motion is to refer the draft. Barry already pointed out that there's one change that needs to be made in paragraph 2A based on the revised council of the town attorney. So we need to insert planning and zoning in there, correct? Yeah, so this is not going to be adopted. The whole purpose of this is for everybody to look at it, run it around the circle, get all the comments together, and then...
DNA needs to be cleared in there.
At the time that we were working on this, we were under different assumptions. I also made an interesting email this week.
The only committee chair that does not have an email is Francis Reagan, but I do have an alternate email person that I send it to, and they forward it to Francis.
Oops.
Oh,
hey. Tim, do you have copies of what you are proposing here tonight that I could take?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if this is appropriate at this time or what, but I was looking over the agenda. As you know, the discussion that we had, I reviewed, along with Casey, all the committees and their appointments. And they're so hodgepodge and messed up. There's no way that we have a record of who was appointed when their term expires, and when they're supposed to come back up. So I think that I had suggested that we have a work session with all the committees as to when their numbers were appointed and when they expire, so you can set a time for the majority of the committees that the appointments be made at one time.
My suggestion is that as part of this that we send back to the committee, we ask all the committees to prepare their own list.
Okay.
For example, I know that the community center committee had their own list, and they actually talked about it at their last meeting about who's coming off when and how the transition needs to be handled and the staggering of the appointments. So if I can amend my earlier motion to refer this draft to the committees and also ask each committee to prepare a current roster of its membership, their dates of appointment, and their dates of expiration.
Yes.
So that we report that information as soon as possible to the clerk. And that way, if that doesn't solve the problem, then we need a work session. So
right.
I think this would be easier.
Okay.
Possibly for those that really have lost track of everything, we're going to be instituting this apparently right at the budget time. So for any committee that can't come up with one, we can give them a starting date for the meeting, the budget pass, and they can start their staggered rotation at that time. This is a suggestion for those that can't come up with it.
So that would be part of the amended motion?
Yes. I guess. Yeah.
You got that, Casey?
I will.
No, I was just in the middle.
With
thing that I would think that they would interact with staff was directly is if there are some reports and all that they might be about to. And then what they would do, I would think that these folks can sort of work in the background in public meetings, in the background of the budget process, and from time to time tell the council, hey, here's something you think you need to look at. Or, hey, you know, this isn't something you need to look at. It's just another point of view to balance, like I say, our point of view and
I don't know.
It's just,
I don't think it was ever the intention to micromanage any department heads. This is just a big picture. That's one of the things, this breakout course that I took on last Wednesday was specifically about looking at budget reports and that, and to make sense of fund balances and all that. Not to do, you know, to get an overview or so that you might, so that you can tell that, you know, with some few basic formulas as to where we stand in relationship. Also, the League of Governments and the Council of Governments are in the process of putting out a program, a tool that you can use to compare your budgets, expenditures, etc., to other towns and municipalities of similar size, and gives you a kind of a graph, a mean to work with.
It would be nice if they started with the state budget.
I know that, but you know, and I know that it's going to start from the bottom up.
Thank you, Mark. Did that answer your question now, Jim? Any other questions? Number three. Mr. Keener, Mr. Craig, Mr. Stewart.
I want to bring up a problem, and I want to bring up a solution.
Oh, I'm going back to cabinets, right?
The problem here is that right now everyone that dies up here is using their home computer and their home email address to conduct town business. Now, I hope none of those have been deleted. I hope to have them all in folders so we can all fold very fast.
Sure.
Because Chapel Hill just spent $130,000 trying to do just that. So the idea is we have to make some changes. And as you know, the last council did make a change. The change comes to help our email system. But the reason you're all doing that is because it got corrupted and spam was taken over the email. So there was a reason that happened. We now have a new company that, as of today, predicted next Wednesday, or in the middle of the week, we will have a new system up. And that will eliminate the spam problem. It will provide us with a calendar. It will give us a place to archive so we don't have to be worried about that. And so that's the answer to it. The other thing is that we certainly need a policy, an email policy. Now that has actually been provided by the state.
Yes, sir. The Department of Cultural Resources.
So I'd like to appoint Barry and Casey to work on that policy. Because Barry's our electronic
tourism. Oh, yeah. We must be hurting real bad. That's all I got to say.
So we really need to come up with a doctor and also your email.
But I will be happy
to say this point of view. Coming down on the email at all. Yeah. Is that in the head?
Actually, you guys all have in your folders this little document here. And it's truthfully the easiest document that I found, and it was given to me by the Department of Cultural Resources, as were everything that you have in your packet, which includes a samples policy from them. One of the things that they handed out was a public electronic records officer registration form. What they recommend is that when you adopt a policy, that you also appoint or adopt a public electronic records officer who's going to be in charge of making sure that any employees, current or new employees, are aware of the policy that we have and are up to date on what is required by the town per anything from the Department of Cultural Resources as far as saving the documents. Because emails, even though most of them, truthfully, are not a permanent record, some of them are. And there is a retention schedule that applies to those. So this little checklist that I showed you guys actually outlines a lot of that for you. So it shows you basically when you can file it and when you can toss it. And so if we're going to adopt a policy, we need to look at assigning a public electronic records officer, and actually we would send this form in to them and let them know we have a policy. We would send the policy along with it, and then they would have it on record that we actually are following the retention schedule.
This officer would be a staff person or an elected official?
I think it could be either or, truthfully.
Off the top of my head, Aaron handles personnel issues. Mm-hmm. Casey's the contact for all of us, or
actually, I think Casey and I would be able to work with that pretty good, because Casey is familiar with this as far as Raleigh. But one of my questions that came up when this whole thing happened couple of years back, and the governor decided to drop it all on our lap, is that in essence, your personal computer is kind of, shall we say, contaminated, in that you have to retain it along with any hard drives that would have any information on it for public access. So that's a little bit of a thing that we would need to look into, and also see whether it might be feasible or for the town to supply small computers specifically for town email traffic.
You can just log.
But then that also goes along with your phones too, by the way.
There's a new system will allow your home to use the town. Even my phone can be able to use the town system. From your own computer, but they would be going hard time on the new system, but you wouldn't have to worry about it being readily on the comp.
Yeah, but don't delete it.
Well, even if it's there, and even if it's a paper copy, that email is the same thing.
I know, Jeff, and just like any electronic document, you cannot get rid of it once it's made. Okay, and once it's on your computer, it can be found too. So this is kind of a dilemma that we will have to look into, I think.
Jim Shuna, can I suggest something? I believe you have right now, you must have, a policy on how you handle documents, how you store documents, length of time you store documents. This should be integrated into your normal policy for the town, how you handle emails, what can be on electronics, what can be stored, the length of time should be stored, should it be backed up. All those things should be thought of, and if they haven't been already, we're in sorry.
Well, it's
true. I would hope the town has got a policy on some of these things, and this should be integrated with it. I'm sorry, but I got frustrated listening to all this. This should be integrated in now.
Well, yes, sir, there is some policy, but again, when the governor left office, not the current governor, but the last governor, who had been fighting all of this email policy a year ago, said, okay, well, it's all up to you. And everybody gets to make up whatever needs to be made up with the group. And you know, government doesn't always travel in the fastest pace. So, consequently, we kind of had it all dumped on our laps. And we're trying to make sense of it now. But there are some policies. But
I would even know the state policy to regulate what you have to do, how long you have to do them. I'm sorry, but I think you should be following them. I'm sorry, but I just got frustrated.
Right. Yeah, since the committees now are being increasingly captured in the very legislative activities, you know, many times committees communicate with commissioners. That will obviously be captured under these email rules, but committees also communicate among themselves. So I would certainly request that any policy regarding maintenance of emails and so forth also capture what the requirements would be for intra-committee communication also.
If I may, once again.
We need to get the new governor on board, Mr. Mayor. This is getting ridiculous.
He's sending me a lot of emails.
I think that needs to stop.
I'm sorry. I just have one more thing. We did adopt a policy from the Department of Cultural Resources, which is our records retention schedule. We adopted that. It's in place. It's being followed. And emails are a portion of that. However, it tells you a retention schedule. It doesn't tell you what. It just says emails, and this is the schedule. And it gives a broad spectrum. However, if you notice at the end of the policy that I sent you, there's actually, it's actually from the School of Government on operating local governments in a digital age. And one of the main things that they focus on is emails. And they go into data management, records retention, archival retrieval. And really, truthfully, all this was brought upon by Chapel Hill. When they got this records request that they could not fulfill, they had to bring in IT professionals that cost them well over $100,000. And it was at a cost to them, not the individual that was requesting it.
That's another surprise.
So it's truthfully, people have been using emails for a long time. It's just that nobody really realized the magnitude of the cost that this could incur on a municipality. So people have gotten very serious about it. And we're not far behind on the listserv that I know you guys, you all know I utilize. There's constantly requests for a policy for this.
Jim, guess who's in charge of being over all the record retentions in the state of North Carolina?
Who?
The Department of Energy and Natural Resources. So, that's government.
Cultural resources.
On this person that we have to designate as the electronic records person, I guess we need to figure out how much work is involved in that before we decide who can handle it. So if I was seconding the chair's motion that Barry and Casey undertake to incorporate this proposed policy into our existing policy and also come up with a list of duties and work that would be required for this electronic conference record office.
And I would like to add one more thing. And that Casey, see what sort of classes the School of Government offers in this area. Oh, I knew I should have said that.
This is it. I believe in tomorrow. But truthfully, this is something, I mean, as per general statute, you know, record retention is really my area of expertise, so I would actually love to go and attend this class.
Well, that's good, but, you know, as long as you're not falling behind your other duties.
I have not.
Well, I mean,
I will not.
I've heard the conversations that you're taking to work home for 2 or 3 hours a night already.
Oh, that's already. But nothing's falling behind.
Can we also ask the attorney to review this draft policy?
I'll be glad to, but I want you to know that I'm a technophobic.
Can you turn to use a computer?
Well, and I won't
have email.
I don't think we'd expect you to talk about, you know, encryption or how many bytes of storage you need. You would just tell us whether there's anything in here that
I don't like this way.
Before we move on, can I ask you a question on Barry's point? So as I understand what you're saying is that if we receive any count of emails on our personal computers, that our personal computers are subject, we can't do anything to the hard drives. Okay. Do you have touched those? I'm just curious.
Once it's downloaded to a POP server, your email is on the internet. It's on your web server. It's not in your computer. You're just accessing it. Once it's downloaded to a POP server, it doesn't exist on your computer.
Unless you save that email.
You can't save it.
You can't save it to your computer.
Word file or text file. Or
well, that's what I'm saying. Right.
Who does that? No one.
Well, I do a lot of
nobody's up there, is he?
I know somebody that might have done me because it's my sister.
I don't know what you just said.
No.
Yeah, what did you say?
He said that was correct and he could take care of it.
Yeah, what you're saying is correct because it's all.
I think if we get our IT problems straightened out and we have our own POP server, then all messages will be archived here in this building on a server or wherever we so designate it to be. As it stands now, we're all using our own personal email accounts. So Yahoo is one place, MSN is another. It's just all scattered around. But your email messages do not live in your computer per se, always. They live somewhere else. You just go look at it.
I understand, but they can be retrieved.
I've charged my server with a clear mind every day, so.
I'm in a foreign direction.
Probably. Okay. I have been working with Rebecca Payton from the Department of Cultural Resources here in North Carolina. And what they were actually under a travel restriction because of budgetary issues for a while, and this was something I was looking at a long time ago, is actually bring in someone from the Department of Cultural Resources who is an expert in this area. She did a presentation at a seminar that I attended, and it was absolutely, it floored pretty much everybody that was around me, the information that they had to present to us. And they have the availability to actually come down here and do a managing public records workshop that council could attend, staff could attend, any of the other departments can attend. We could also invite other municipalities, so it could actually be something that we could host here or have availability to host elsewhere on the island. And they would do all the organization for this, but it would basically give us a clear and defined record. They would supply us with enough documentation so everybody within their own respective departments would know what records need to be when. As far as emails, they will cover that. Basically, any public records issue. If you guys would like more information, I wasn't able to get the agenda in time. She was out of town. So I was hoping to have the agenda for this type of workshop. But
do you have a budget number?
Well, actually, it wouldn't be very big at all, simply because I know that I can get the Courtyard Marriott their room for free. They will supply us it for free. However, you know, to have. Well, if we were to invite, that's what I'm saying. If we were to invite other municipalities, it would actually be the town of Fury Beach would actually host this. So it would bring a lot of people to the island for this type of workshop because there is a lot of interest. They do have a waiting list for this presentation, for this workshop.
Maybe contact person and talk with the other.
So far, we've only heard three.
Yes.
Is that it?
Well, they have their own budgetary issues that limited them to coming down here, but now that has been freed up. It has been lifted because typically they had no wait list for this because they could just go wherever. So this is what they do. That particular department for the Department of Cultural Resources, that is what they do.
So we wouldn't have to reimburse the travel expenses?
No, they would come down for the day.
So there's no cost to the town?
It would be a minor cost such as, you know, drinks and things like that. So I would have to work that out with the Marriott because I'm sure if they're going to let us use the room, they'll want us to use their.
Well, this says it can be good for attorneys to go to.
It would be great. Oh, no, that's
yeah,
the other.
He's
going crap. So I can definitely look more into it and get you guys the agenda if you guys want to consider this, but when I contacted them originally, it was because several clerks on the clerks network asking about doing this workshop because it was so much was covered and it was so informative for them.
In fact, there wasn't a large meeting. Certainly,
but like I said, there is a waiting list, so there are a lot of people. So if we can get it at a tiny cost, I would recommend that we try to hold it somewhere where we can invite other municipalities, because they've returned the favor to us in the past.
They can share whatever the cost is.
I think we're going to make a motion that we authorize Casey to proceed with planning this and staging it, and authorize the $300 for incidental expenses.
Okay.
If you need more than that, come back to us.
I certainly will.
And I think we probably have enough in a training budget or something somewhere.
I think it's a good idea. Do you think we should maybe contact Hector Council Governments for your list to save you some time?
What she does is actually Rebecca Payton, that is what they do, this department within the Department of Cultural Resources, and so they will actually notify the surrounding municipalities and say, hey, it's Turie Beach, and they'll actually take the registration. They'll handle all of that for me, which would be great.
Is that a motion? Or a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you.
Oh, you can vote.
Yes, sir. As the chairman of the Oceanfront Park Committee, I put the meetings that we were having on hold during election season because not knowing what, if any, new direction the new council would want to go. We had a discussion at our retreat regarding the Oceanfront Park, and correct me if I say something that you don't agree with, but the general gist of our conversation was that we wanted to continue as we had been going, with the exception that we wanted to have some discussion, and that's what we're going to have an open session right now. The past council had taken a position that we weren't going to do anything as far as construction until the land was paid off. Because of the fact that some of the grants, or all of the grants as a matter of fact, that we have for construction are time limit grants, we felt that it was worthwhile having the discussion about the possibility of going on a two-track of continuing to pay off the debt on the land, but also starting up with the construction so that we wouldn't lose any of that money by not having anything done by the time the limit was up. And so what I'd like to do right now, well, first let me add also, I had a discussion and a meeting with Brian Cox, our engineer, and Sonny about a week and a half ago, because we always thought that the first project we were going to have was going to be a stormwater project, because it was going to be underground with the buildings and everything on top of it. Brian Cox informed us that yes, that was true, but it couldn't take place until we had a architectural footprint for everything that was going to be on. So we basically had to complete everything on paper so that the engineering firm could design the size of the stormwater project to fit the amount of permeable and semi-permeable land that was going to be there. So regardless of what we decide as far as whether we're going to wait to pay it off, we can't actually put anything underground until we have developed the plan in full. And that is what the gist of the meetings from now on are going to be doing, to firm up the size of the buildings, construction items, and for both the restroom and the main pavilion.
And Jim and I have talked about this a little, and I was against doing any construction out there until the land was paid for, but we have over $800,000 in development grants, and they do have a time limit to them. So in our discussions, I think the Parks Planning Committee needs to reconvene. I've contacted Rivers and Ravenel, who have done the work up to this point. So we will have a footprint before, like Jim said, stormwater can be
implemented that part of it. So with it, I think the first grant is going to fall away in 18 months.
Yeah.
So we need to move ahead with this.
And that was the stormwater grant.
Right.
Okay, on this footprint, are we going to be held to it very strictly, or is it going to be something that has some variability to it?
Well, it'd be like building your house. We're going to end up with a plan. We're going to be able to make some small modifications as we go along, but it's going to be pretty much as far as size and roof area and stuff like that.
The engineers, I have to crunch the numbers to make sure that solar water's going to cost it.
So we're going to need to know the size of the building,
so just a square.
Yeah,
size of the
building, where
the piping is going to be. Location on the site.
Yeah, we already have that.
Okay. We're close, but we need to give them to, you know, do the dimensions.
Materials that we're going to use as far as if we're going to use any.
Yeah, any special materials or whatever, special construction type because of its location and things like that. And one of the things that...
Talk about papers and whatever.
Oh, any impervious surface. Not the building's materials itself.
Not as much bad as the others have.
And one of the things that we haven't done, either as a council or as a committee, we haven't figured out what the look of the road is going to be. I mean, we've looked at S-shapes, we've looked at curves, we've looked at straight structure. So that's going to enter into it.
As soon as we can go along with what Jim and I have been discussions we've had, as soon as we can actually nail this down, then we'll be able to move forward with private monies that we can go after and have some to actually show us as far as we're interested. And I think we can move ahead with that.
What I'd really like for us to do is have an open discussion about changing the policy or not changing the policy about paving the land first, because that was the official position that the council had taken at that time.
I'm making a motion that we need to change that because of the fact that one went out, the first one's April, and that's a short time to get that basis down. So, yes, I'll make a motion that we change it and start the plan using the construction line as soon as possible.
And seconded. Any more discussion? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Oh, Jim, starting to see out there.
Dean, yes, sir. Once this plan is laid out, is there going to be then a public hearing so that the town, the populace, could actually come and see what the park is going to look like in its final footprint?
I think that would be an appropriate thing to do.
And then at the same time, Jim, if your committee is going to be assisting in that overall design, maybe what we could do is put a price tag for each of those design elements, so that as grants are running out, if you would, and you're concerned about planning time and implementation time, as a community we could look and say, hey, that's great, let's do the road, let's do whatever part of the project makes the most sense, and let people have an input on what the park will look like in its infancy, if you
would. Yes, the discussion that we had with the engineer, once he gets the overall plan, then there are areas that we can do besides the stormwater, such as the restroom,
and,
or
you know, tie into the grant sequence and how we receive them. But yeah,
but he needs to know the exact location of the buildings, the size, the material, and everything they're going to be made up, so that he can make his connections and everything to the ground. And the architect and the engineer obviously are going to be able to give us price ranges for material.
Any other discussion? Y'all take a 5-minute, 10-minute break? 10 minutes, 5 minutes? And you're going to take it slow. New business. Number one, back
recommendation for planning and zoning commission ordinance amendment addition to the following ordinance. Section 19-321.5, prerequisite to construction, demolition, remodeling, and impervious services, etc. Discussion.
So can I ask a question? And we need to schedule a public hearing.
Yes, sir.
So that we won't act on this tonight, right? We need to schedule a public hearing.
John?
Did
you find that about the
permit? No, sir, I don't
know. Could we ask Craig to explain this to us?
Yeah, I'll turn it over to Alan since it was really his proposal and that's all. We always like to see how it evolves after the
project. What did I say?
19-321.5.
I'm going to do that real quick. It basically pertains to, we have multiple front lots that are solid 250 feet wide. If you use the 65% rule in pervious surface, you'll notice that there are some ocean front houses that have full concrete driveways and concrete down the sides. These houses don't drain to the ocean, they drain to 450. So what we decided, or what I came up with, was we limit the size of the driveway with John's in place to, we originally started at 30 feet. If the driveway is only 36 feet wide, it allows you the four cars across and not taking away any parking, but it's not encroaching on the setbacks. So you don't have massive concrete close to the property, and it's not on the top of either 421 or whatever road it is. And limiting the amount of impervious and setback will just, it allows for basically a walkway down the side of a 5 foot setback instead of taking concrete from the house to the property line.
Rather than begin the 5 foot setback,
we limited the amount of impervious you could have in the side setbacks. So people can, if there's an oceanfront house that just did this, they concreted the whole 5 foot setback on both sides of the property.
And this was one that has an engineered storm drain?
Oh, okay. No, it just,
if they have an engineered storm drain system, which is required, or they can not, they can still pay $4,000 to get around it.
And it's a, they have enough land for the 65% rule, but all of that land is in the dunes. The water doesn't run by it, so they're going to do anything to drain it. It all ends up in the road.
Okay. Could I ask, if, for the public hearing, would it be possible to draw a sketch of what they could do under the current ordinance and what this new ordinance, or how this new ordinance would affect that? I think that would help explain it to people.
And currently, you could have a 50-foot wide driveway.
Right.
It should just be 24 feet on the town right away. So, I mean, you basically can cover it.
Oh, wow. So this is an additional restriction on the impervious surface beyond the 65%.
Right.
But I figure a picture would illustrate that.
But it's really not going to affect the standard 50 by 100 lot that everybody in most lots is going to
do. Do you need any extra wording in it? They don't have the 65% rule, it's 4,000 square feet, period.
Well,
I mean, do we need to...
Well, it wouldn't matter for carried by the sea, it wouldn't matter for ocean floor and ocean dunes, because they can only build a certain size.
Right.
So they can't put the...
But that doesn't need to be included in anything in that?
No. I don't think it would affect that. I don't think it needs to be.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to schedule a public hearing on February 16th at 5:30.
I second.
Everybody check their... Chris, are you checking mine?
I don't have it. I don't know.
Everybody okay with that?
At 5:30. We're good.
At what time? 5:30?
5:30. It's an hour. That should give you plenty of time, shouldn't it, John? An hour before your council meeting?
Like 30 minutes or so, but we can do whatever you want.
Right.
5:30.
It's going to be your intent. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Casey? Number two, recommendations from Attorney Pettis, ordinance amendment to the following ordinance, section number 2-41, composition-terms of office.
Okay, at the retreat that we had, there was a consensus council for my coming up with some language to include property owners as to go along with citizens, residents, and property owners to be on the Planning and Zoning Commission. So I have drafted 2-41 stating exactly that. And if you're still of the mind to pass that, then it's before you.
And the only committee that we are limited to is the DEOA.
Well, that's not even mentioned.
Excuse me. I checked with Chris May this morning at 10 o'clock about this very issue, and he said that in order, by state statute, in order to be on either the BOA or the Planning and Zoning, you must be a resident of that community.
Yes.
That is true with the Board of Adjustments.
And also PNC, according to Chris May. Now, but you can check with him. He told me this at 10 o'clock this morning.
Well, good for him. But 168-60 says appointment of non-residents to committees by the town is allowed, providing it's not prohibited by zoning ordinance or charter. And there's nothing other than our ordinance that prohibits it, which I have moved to or drafted to adopt to include property owners. Now, I don't know where he got that from.
You said it was a state statute.
I have looked at the state statute.
I don't know. Maybe we ought to get in touch with him before we move forward.
168-388 is what he's talking about.
Because the same language is in this other document that we
wrote. Yeah,
any discussion? Andy and I spent about an hour Saturday going through all the state statutes. I'm not an attorney, but I'm satisfied with what Andy.
Well, let me suggest this, since this is part of this overall committee thing that we're doing, and we're going to wait for the committees to respond back to us. There's no urgency in adopting this tonight.
No.
If we could ask Barry to call Chris May and ask Chris to send Andy the statute that he thinks is involved.
Okay.
So that Andy can consult with Chris, and if there is a statute, Andy can review it.
Or, and also on top of that, because of the fact those two committees are quasi-judicial, talking among ourselves, we may feel that...
I don't think P&Z is quasi-judicial.
The only thing on P&Z in the state statute that I saw, it said that you may appoint no less than 5 members and be serving staggered terms, and that's all it said.
I recall somewhere, and I have to dig it up myself too, but I recall somewhere where it said they must be residents of the town.
Correct.
Now, what does resident mean? I don't know if it's owner or full. To me, resident is full-time person, but that's what I recall.
Well, if you would too, Jim, see if you can find the reference there that you remember. So maybe between you and Chris, if there is something that Andy's missing, we can figure it out before we act on it.
Okay. Thank you.
So you're going to...
I'll get up for Chris.
Okay. All right. Item number 3. Recommendation by Planning and Zoning Commission to accept appointment of Jim Byers.
You want to take a...
official recommendation?
Well, I'm in a little bit of a dilemma here. Do you think it would be possible for y'all to stumble along until we redo all these committee things? The next one?
Are we doing something retroactive?
Retroactive?
Yeah, the whatever it is that we're going to come up with, we haven't come up with yet. So what we're doing is we're asking to hold this in advance until we do come up with it, so that we can cover a situation that's already occurred.
We've already gone through our process.
Now, there was some question in the retreat, Jim, that process may have been flawed. And one of the things we're trying to address in the new procedures is that all of our committees are subject to the North Carolina Open Meetings Laws. And it was the opinion of the attorney and Chris May that conducting the interviews in a closed session was contrary to that law.
May I ask the attorney what a closed session is? What is a closed session, please? May I, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Closed session is meeting conducted behind closed doors.
By the committee only?
Yes.
Well, we had Barry there, and we had, for three of the members, we had Dean there. It was an open meeting. We had them there listening to us, asking the questions, doing our interviews. We prohibited them from asking questions, though. We asked them to please not ask questions for us because we were trying to make the decision who was the best for this commission. It was an open meeting. We have never closed these meetings we've had before, and people have never showed up. We do interview. What we do, I don't know if this is closing, and we don't want the other interviewees to be there while we're interviewing a person because of the questions we're asking and potentially how it could bias the answers they give us as we go forward. So we have never really allowed other interviewees in, but it was open meeting. This was an open meeting. We had two members from this commission there.
Well, I think the problem is that you can't exclude anyone.
If I may speak too, there wasn't any exclusion of anybody. You know, in terms of our meetings, and I think there's really two issues, whether this was an open meeting or not. You know, certainly if nobody was excluded, we wouldn't have kicked anybody out if they walked through the door. We invited certain people to come in at certain times because they were scheduled for certain interview times. We had members or folks that were not part of the Planning and Zoning Commission enter and exit during the process. We had two or three commissioners do that. I'm not sure if this was and the vote and the discussion was done in the public here in terms of the final recommendation. So I'm not sure if this even could be classified as a closed meeting. The other standard, I believe, in terms of a closed meeting, in terms of interviews, is it has to do with the public good. And certainly from my research regarding interviews in the last couple of days, not only in North Carolina, but also in other states, is that a public good is achieved by staggering the interviews because you as a qualified person, if they're listening to the question and answer period or the process of the interview, they actually may be less qualified, but they pick up on key words or learn something from that process. And then be able to come in and you know, give answers that perhaps they really don't know anything about. And you end up choosing somebody that's less qualified. So there's a public good in terms of having a closed meeting in terms of interviews. I mean, we do that at the university. Last thing I'm going to do as a professor is let a student group present and have following student groups listen to that process because they're going to gain a real benefit by hearing what other people are talking about. So in terms of, I think there's two issues. I don't think this was technically a closed meeting, but I think in terms of interviewing for a position, whether it's a personnel position or a committee position, that's clearly in the public good to have staggered interviews and not have later people listen to the conversations or the interview questions that are going on at the beginning. So I think there's really two issues that would make this a perfect legitimate recommendation at the present time.
The additional possible problem that I see is, would it be possible, since we are doing something retroactive that some of the spills in violation of our existing policies, how far back does the violations go for us to check?
fact?
I mean, I could go back to check committees to see whether minutes have been submitted, which is in violation of our report. I could go back to see whether committees have meetings that were not scheduled, which is a violation of our report. And is it going back 1 week? Is it going back 2 months? Is it going back 6 months?
I'd say that this is very current because it's being brought before us right now at this point in time. Now also, I was there, and I think one of our commissioners will attest to the fact that the door was locked. Now, if that is not paramount to
that, was my mistake. I apologize.
Well, by mistake,
we got locked it when we found it, when somebody knocked on it.
But I also remember, excuse me, sir. Can I finish?
Yeah.
After I finish, you can have your say, sir.
Thank you.
I also remember finding out after I got back from the restroom that I was told that there was a closed session going on and it was in the kitchen. Correct? And I came in there and I spoke specifically about the fact that if it was a closed session, somebody has to take notes, or that no matter what, somebody has to take notes. Am I wrong?
Who told you it was a closed session?
It wasn't by us. We didn't
want to be there.
We did not
want to be
there.
And there were minutes. I mean, we were definitely told that we had to take minutes. And there were minutes being taken, too. And that's what we told. Because we switched. Slap was in the conference.
I know.
And the door of the kitchen was open, so we conducted our interviews. We could conduct our interviews. We did. But they were open.
And that door was open there. We switched to the conference room because of other people's suggestions. Didn't realize that door was locked until somebody knocked on it. We opened it then.
Yeah, in fact, when we started the interviews, it was an open door in the kitchen. Not even closed. And then, you know, it was suggested to us, I believe, by a commissioner that we should move into that particular.
And also, didn't I suggest that we keep Casey there to take the minutes?
I think it was recommended that minutes be taken.
I also remember specifically asking for Casey to stay there. And I was told that she would not be allowed to be in that meeting.
Not by us. Not by us.
Maybe I misunderstood it. That she
would, I mean, we would have been delighted to have her take the minutes.
Well, then why would she ask not to?
If I may, I wasn't asked not to take the minutes. I walked in and I said, I just want to make sure that minutes are being taken. And that's when Jim informed me, I'm taking the minutes. I'll give you everything I've got at the end of the meeting. And I was, that's fine.
I mean, it was never suggested to us that you take the minutes.
Jim, I'll attend to the charade. I make a motion that we accept the appointment of Jim Byler to the committee.
Second. Motion dies for lack of a second. So what's the plan now?
What I'd like to say is, first of all, we were advised by the attorney and the town council, the council of governments representative Chris May, that all committee business should be conducted in an open session. Whether or not y'all had a closed session or an open session, I don't know. I wasn't there. It seems to me that the idea that you decided to have separate interviews ran contrary to their suggestion. They told us as an absolute statement that no committee of the town should ever have a closed session of any kind.
Or executive session.
Or however you want to call it. As to whether or not the staggered interviews serve the public good, that may be so, Craig, but it's not covered by the statute, and it's not permissible under the statute.
I believe the statute does refer to public good, except there can situations of public good.
And that may be arguable, but the advice that we have from the attorney and from the representative from the Council of Governments is there's no reason, public good or not, for a committee of the town ever to have a closed session. And whether or not staggered interviews is a public good, I question that. I think that there's an equally defensible public good for having all of the interviews conducted in the open so that all of the people who are potentially serving on the committee can have a public discussion about the future planning and zoning that they're here to be.
That's what the question.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm shocked at pettiness of you all.
Yes. And I want my say, yeah, and it's good public. I still want my say when I have my time.
I would like to ask the attorney a question. Is the open meeting portion of the problem that we're talking about here of an equal weight with all of the other rules that the committees operate under?
I don't understand the question.
Well, for example, if committees or individuals on those committees were in violation of other orders or other rules that we have in place for their operation, is that of an equal weight to what they say is going on?
Wouldn't that depend upon the committee?
It depends on what the other.
No problem. I'll do the research for you.
Jim, if I may attempt my answer to that question, sure, other committees have done things wrong, and that's one of the reasons we're adopting new procedures. That's one of the reasons a memo was sent out to all the committees saying, look, guys, y'all are subject to the open meetings law.
I have absolutely no problem with 99% of what.
And as far as the argument saying that we're, you know, making them comply with rules we haven't adopted yet, we're not. There's no reason to approve this appointment tonight. What we know is that there are prospective changes to our rules of procedure. There are goals that we want to achieve as far as how the committees operate and how the committees represent the town. And with that in place, I think it would be unwise of us to endorse an action that we don't need to endorse.
Okay.
And so my motion would be that we send this, we ask P&Z to conduct interviews again, and then they send us, I would like to ask them to send us two recommendations as we are planning for all the committees to do in the future, but if that's something that y'all have a hard time with, then we can go for one.
But can I speak to that recommendation?
May I finish making my motion, sir?
Absolutely.
My motion is that we return this to P&Z and ask them to go through the process again and send us another
candidate. So, or we can re-advertise and get other people to apply now because the process is starting over.
Don't go against the yes.
Yes, we should be able to. And if I take two, then what's the sense of having a committee?
Yeah.
Not you handle the committee, because this is basically what it
was. I'm sorry, I'm an account, the council does handle the disputes.
Well, then you should, and you should conduct the interview side.
Well,
not the committee.
Oh, I mean, the council is responsible for every appointment, whether you recommend it or not.
I'm afraid of it.
That's pretty amazing to me.
Speaking of that, I mean, served on many, many, you know, commissions and, you know, teach this and things like that. You know, certainly I think everybody recognizes that the council has absolute authority for all commissions. I don't think there's any question about that. From my experience of having served on other planning commissions, other type of commissions and so forth, you know, in some situations the council does the interviews and the council makes directly the appointments. In other situations, it's like what we have, where the best qualified person is picked by the commission and then put forth to the council. In fact, I've never seen a situation that has worked where it's someone in between, where the commission is asked to come up with two or three recommendations and then give it to the council. That's been tried sometimes. It ends up with a lot of dissatisfaction on both of the committees and the commission, because inevitably, if the commission does the interviews, we have a pretty good sense as to who we would see as the most qualified in that particular position. And if that most qualified person is not then picked by the council, which again, the council has absolute right to do, then there's going to be a sense that we have perhaps, you know, what authority the committee has, you know, the fact of whether a recommendation is considered seriously, but perhaps most importantly, it disenfranchises the process of then having somebody picked who we perhaps do not think is the highest qualified person. So I would strongly recommend that you do it either or. Either you let the commission or the committee pick the highest qualified candidate and submit that to the council as we have done in the past, or you do the interviews, you pick the person and appoint that person. But I would strongly recommend against kind of an intermediate situation of
giving two or three candidates to the committee. I would strongly recommend doing one or the other, but not someone in between.
Well, the idea that we're disenfranchising the committee by you not just automatically accepting their recommendation, the flip side of that is that since the council has no idea who else you interviewed, well, we have an idea of who else you interviewed, but we don't have any idea about the qualifications that you are using to rate people.
We sure do it in our minutes.
Okay. Do we have a copy?
All right.
Well, then
you have a copy. Send one. Should have done your homework.
Let me. I didn't have a copy of the minutes, are they?
All right.
Let me make a point here.
They're not real.
No knowledge of any impropriety of any other committees in this town.
I agree with you, and in retrospect, it was not a good process, and that's what we're trying to change it for all.
Well, I don't see why you should change it retroactively.
Well,
because you should change it retroactively.
My motion is that we postpone consideration of this appointment until the February meeting after we've had time to read the minutes of the D&Z committee interviews, which we do not have available to us right now.
You have two motions on the floor.
Let me get a second on the first one.
You didn't, but it's still a motion. You don't need a second.
There's not. We didn't have a second for the first motion.
Okay, that's
me. Nobody seconded it. Without a second, it's not a motion.
Okay.
According to our rules of procedure. So the second motion is that we postpone this until February after we've had time to read the minutes.
And there are two sets of minutes. The minutes that we had in our meeting, and then we also had an open discussion and a vote as part of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Hopefully we'll get all of them. And there is a second now.
We need a vote on this first, unless you want to amend this.
Well, no, I'd like to amend it, actually. I'd like to amend it that we reject the P&Z recommendation of Jim Botter. And then have them go back and redo their recommendation and let them decide whether they want to have one or two. Because that definitely is another problem that we're having. But I would like to recommend that we go ahead and reject it outright and then let them go back and redo what they want to do.
What is the difference between the two motions? All I said was put it off until February. When we
and I said go ahead and make our recommendation.
Either way, whatever's going to come back.
Well, go ahead.
You want to get your motion amended?
Okay.
And we'll vote on the first motion. It has a second. All in favor, so we'll say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Yeah, that's how it
is. And since all of the committees are going to review the new procedures, please, the comments that you made about the way it should operate and how, whether it should be a dual process or pure process, include that in your recommendations.
We still haven't resolved the issue whether we're going to have one or two candidates from P&Z.
Can I ask a question? I didn't quite understand what motion's passed. Is it postponed to February, or is it
postponed to February? That's what passed.
They want to postpone their decision until February until the council has had a chance to read the minutes. And then the second motion was from Commissioner Nelder to reject the recommendation of Jim Botter and let the Planning and Zoning Commission decide if they want to have one or two candidates.
Okay, that hasn't passed yet.
Okay. Not yet.
It's just a motion.
That was an amendment.
Yes.
To
no, there was an amendment at that time. Yes, and Tim rejected it.
Okay, so you were making a motion one more time there?
First I would like to find out whether we have resolved the issue of whether we're going to have one or two candidates recommended from the Planning and Zoning Department.
That's not germane right now because all we're doing is waiting to vote on the current recommendation until after we've had a chance to review the minutes.
So then, in February, we will have not gotten anywhere than where we are right now, correct? I mean, you know, all we're going to do is read the minutes and come back here and rehash the same issue.
Not correct. You might read the minutes and come to a different conclusion.
They have the interviews for all the candidates.
But they're still, as I, correct me if I'm wrong, are you not going to resubmit Jim Blatter?
They don't have to. He's still
a candidate.
That is still the application we're considering.
Yes, I understand that, sir. What I don't understand is the issue whether we are going to have one or two candidates.
We don't have two until we vote on changing the plan. We haven't voted on the plan, so nobody's back on. They're not even going to bring back one. Not one that we have, right, and one that we're going to. They're not going back and reconsidering. They're just, next month, we will have read their minutes and then we can have them.
Well, personally, I feel that going back and reconsidering and coming back with the same recommendation is not going to really accomplish anything. We're going to be in the same limbo we are right now. That's why I would like to make a motion, if that's possible, that we go ahead and reject the recommendation so that P&Z can go back and re-interview in the open so there can be no question of clarity, and also recommend that they have two candidates that they resubmit at that time.
You already said the committees.
You want the committees to recommend the new policy. Now you just want to make a motion to create the new policy. So whatever you did at the beginning of the meeting is going to be null and void. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm lost.
This council is lost. There's a motion. Somebody will try to make a motion.
There's no second.
Okay.
No.
And so if we're going to come back here next month and face the same issue as we are right now.
Yes.
If I can say, what the minutes will be, okay, and again, you can read the minutes, but to perhaps save a month of angst here. The minutes that came out of our meetings were the questions that we asked, specifically the questions that were asked. Each one of the members asked a particular question. It was essentially the same question of all candidates. Those questions will be the minutes of the interview sessions that we had. The minutes will not reflect their answers. Okay? It will reflect the questions. Then we have the General Planning and Zoning Commission minutes, where at the end of the session, there was a short conversation regarding qualifications, who we consider to be the most qualified given the interviews, and then we had a vote on that. And a short discussion. So the minutes will reflect that summation of what I just described.
So, now, let me make sure I understand this. The only thing that is going to be reflected in the closed session or the executive session are the questions. The council will have no answer to any of the questions, correct? So we have no way to make any assessment, correct?
That's exactly why I think the fundamental issue is, if that is the concern, then I would strongly recommend that the council take over the interview process and do that. Again, I think you can either have one or the other. Either you have to put your faith in the commission to do the proper interviews and come forth with a recommendation that the commission feels is the most qualified, or if you want to review the minutes to kind of provide a litmus.
I'm afraid we're getting away from the issue. The issue is the answer to the questions, which we are not going to be allowed to see.
I don't think they're in the minutes.
I know they're not.
The answers to the questions.
And how can we?
As I understand, minutes, they're not required to be
verbatim.
not verbatim, it's supposed to be a...
You have to be represented.
Yeah, no, all that has to be is the time the meeting started, the general subject that was talked about, and the time the meeting closed.
I believe that the requirements were closed. We've logged this enough that we voted on a motion. I think we should move on.
Well, I don't know that we have any clear motion. What is the planning and zoning going to do now? They're going to just wait.
They do nothing until February. And when the council will act, and then depending on how we act, then they'll have something to do then.
And will they have any idea of what was said other than the questions?
Why don't we wait until we see the minutes?
Okay. I think you just said that we will not.
Jim, did you want to address?
May I address the minutes? Yes, sir. I am totally upset, so I have to try and control myself here. I have never seen a council like this. In all my years in cities, towns, a council that is driven and trying to control the committees. I have proof of the control that these committee members have done. Committee members trying to control changing zoning so we could have residential where there's commercial. I guess for the good of the committees. Committee members suggested that if we select Jim Barton, he will get rejected.
You're talking?
Yes, you, commissioner members. Not you.
No, I'm sorry. Commissioner. You're saying committee. Are you?
You,
council.
Our commission.
Okay.
It just upsets me. The lady who left, I don't know her name, but it upsets me to the point what she said. This is nonsense. You're trying to control this town. You people are taking over. You won't let the state statutes tell us we, planning and zoning, and that's how I was elected, were to look at the land use plan. Look at what we're supposed to do, recommend the council. Council is recommending the P&Z what to do. It's disturbing. I've been on it long enough. It's 3 years, 3.5 years. I've been on P&Z. I've tried to do my part for this town. I look at facts. I make decisions on facts. I am not a political person. Being approached to change zoning ticked me off. It didn't get changed, did it? Okay? Those kinds of things tick me off. I let them sit until this day when I saw what this council does and how we react. The public has to know. You're trying to control. And I really don't like that. Being on P&Z, I like to take the facts and make decisions based on facts. I think this council member, by the decision you made, all the years you have never, no council has ever rejected an appointment from the commission. Okay? The years I've been here, I got to say the years since I've been here, 1994, I've been a resident here and a voter here. And I like this community. I love living here. I'm going to continue to live here until I die. But you really upset me. Jim, you're acting like the mayor. Really gets me upset. I'm sorry. And I'm not upset against you, Tim. I'm not upset to anyone on the council. I'm upset about the actions you're taking and how you're trying to control things. Thanks for allowing me my peace, Jim.
Discussion and consideration of discussion and consideration of the council clerk, former governor, Mr. Newton.
So, yes, in our retreat, obviously one of the discussions that took place was the fact that since we no longer had an administrator, what was the wishes of council as far as the direction that we wanted to go to. After lengthy discussion, there seemed to be a consensus that what we wanted to do, at least initially, was to go back to the clerk council form of government and then see how things went and if there was a need to move to something else at that time to go ahead and do that. If I'm wrong, please speak up.
Go ahead, Barry. Sorry.
My understanding was that, A, we were going to wait till Jennifer got back because there is no legal need to make Casey the manager, or vice versa, to make Jennifer the manager, or however you want, organizational, whatever it was we decided we were going to talk about.
No, but the clerk, excuse me, go.
Okay, now you're saying clerk manager.
No, I said clerk counsel.
Clerk counsel, okay. Well, maybe I'm not understanding
what clerk counsel's what we had when Nancy was here, and clerk counsel's what we had under Frank.
Okay, and it's what we have. It's what we have now.
Yeah.
And we haven't decided to make anybody any sort of office manager or anything like we discussed at the meeting last Saturday, correct?
Right.
Okay, I'm fine.
Yeah, I think, Mary, what you picked up on from the meeting is we were going to wait. There is a clerk finance position.
Right.
That the clerk can be over finance, and I think what we were going to, I remember it as we were going to, yeah, there is a place where the clerk can also be over finance. And that is one part of the clerk's duties. And I thought we were going to wait till Jennifer got back, and Tim and Dr. Chuck were going to discuss it with the two.
I think we just cut him off in the middle. Where you head?
We did agree on that.
We were informed by the attorney that, under in his legal opinion, we don't have a administrator slash whatever we want to call it at this time. So that we are now under the clerk council form of government.
Right.
This was my attempt to make sure that the public was aware.
Oh, then, okay. That's fine.
That's right.
But
one
of the other points brought out, and you were, I think, at the same meeting, that we were actually under council mayor form of government, which is somewhat separate, I guess, from the first round.
It wasn't at that meeting.
It was the same one you were sitting. Maybe it wasn't, but I thought you were sitting right in front of me with Casey on the other, and yes, and it was the name of the meeting. So, remember, it was the continuing that name of the meeting. Jeff was there.
We're talking about the...
Right, the breakout stuff. Right, the breakout stuff.
Jim's car is right. I'm still back.
What's the difference between the council clerk and council mayor?
Absolutely nothing, because the clerk is a position that's required by state law. So it's the same thing.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
And I think what we also need to let the public know is when Michelle tendered her resignation, the wording in her resignation was to the point that the administrator was no longer part of the town vote. And we all agreed that when we said we voted to let her tender her resignation, the wording in her resignation was to point that the administrator is no longer part of the government.
That's all.
Well, having said that, that brings up number 7. In our town council handbook, and our procedures and everything, there are numerous references to the position of town administrator, and there are many duties that are delegated to the town administrator. Rather than rewrite the whole thing, my suggestion would be, and I talked with Andy about this evening, would be that we simply amend the procedures in any other place in the manual that's necessary, and add some wording that wherever town administrator appears or administrator, it shall mean the administrator, department head, clerk, or persons or designated by council. And just have a blanket amendment so that we tidy that.
I'll be more than happy to help Chuck go through.
If we just adopt this one paragraph, it covers everything. We don't have to change all the rest of it.
Is that your form of notice?
Yes, sir.
I'll second that.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any discussion? Further discussion? Item number 5, Mr. Jones.
Yes, sir.
No, 7 or any one of the numbers in the agenda, we combine 7 and 4.
Discussion and consideration of budget calendar for 2010-11. And this is when we have to sit.
hope you all have a copy. The budget calendar. That's part of the agenda packet. Mr. Barton, I know the only statutory requirement is that we have the department head's recommendation robust by April 30th, right?
Are you going to change?
That's the agenda statute. The one thing that I omitted on here is a public hearing on the budget, which what I'd like to suggest is that it would be prior to the meeting on June 15th. And I may have too many meetings in here. That's one of the reasons I want y'all to talk about this. What I've suggested is that the deadline for financial requests from outside agencies, and I was going to get the staff to send out a letter to everybody you've given money to in the past and ask them to have their request in the appropriate form to us by March 12th. Not that we would act on it or anything, but just so that y'all would be aware of what's in there. We would ask the budget request from the town committees to be forwarded no later than April 16th. Again, not to act on, but simply to have them available to y'all, and that would be at a council meeting. We would have the departmental draft budgets by April 20th, so that y'all could be looking at them. And then my goal is to have a draft budget submitted to the council by May 18th, at which meeting we can schedule a public hearing for, like I said before, the meeting on the 15th and then adopt it on the 15th. And I listed three tentative possible work sessions, one very early in the process so that we can look at, sort of review the year-to-date in the current budget, one in May, at which time we would have a working draft of the budget, and then one in June, if we think it's necessary, where we would have pretty close to the final budget to make any last-minute adjustments before council's having the public hearing and then acting on it.
Is it formal enough?
So I'd like to make a motion that if this is agreeable to the council, that we adopt this budget, we can amend it later if we need to.
Any
second motion?
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any discussion or any hard work? Anybody think it is me? Town calendar.
I got some questions from folks about we had 3 days, the town hall was closed 3 days of Christmas, and our handbook, our policy, said we would have 2 days of Christmas. So this is a copy from 2010 of what's in the town council handbook, and it includes the 12 listed holidays, which it's 11. You have 2 days of Thanksgiving and then 2 days of Christmas. Now the other thing is that we list both Martin Luther King Day and President's Day. And what I would like to suggest is that we put an asterisk next to those, amend the manual, put an asterisk next to those and say we could have an option but not both. Because we don't truly intend, the way it reads right now, you think that both of those days are town holidays and town hall is closed.
So this would be an option?
Right.
So that the employees can think either or is that going
to be? I think the town staff would have to decide which one town hall is going to be open or closed. But I just want to clear up, anybody reading this would think that both of those days are holidays and the town hall is closed.
And 3 days for Christmas this year.
And 2 days is what the cost of
work was. Yeah,
the 3 days out
this year went through the consent agenda.
Well, other than the asterisk on Martin Luther King's residence state
and
the states as it's in the current.
Yes. But also the current handbook calls for us to fix the 2 days that will be reserved for Christmas.
For Christmas, well, that almost has to be done on a yearly basis because of Christmas rotating.
Right. Well, that's, so if Christmas is on a Friday today this year, that's what I've got on here. The way the handbook reads, we would observe Friday and Monday. But we do we want to do it that way, or do we want to observe Thursday and Friday? That's why I brought this up. Because we have to fix that. It's up to us to set that calendar.
You know, set the calendar now, is that what you're asking?
What I would, another suggestion is, would it be in order to ask the staff which they would prefer?
Well, Sunday, the police, you know, Dennis is going to have the police here regardless. But Sunday, I think, and then the people
in South Florida,
I need to know now.
Well, Sunday is going to have people, but not the majority of them.
Yeah.
The majority of them will be taking the holidays. But
I'd like to hear from Sunday.
Well, personally, I'd rather have Thursday and Friday. The only reason I'm saying that is because I hate to take money off of that's a garbage day, and I'd like to get a garbage. That's the way I think it is.
So we could certainly change that to the 23rd and Monday.
Christmas is on a Saturday.
Yes, that's right. It's got December 24th is a Friday, December 27th is a Monday. So Christmas is on the Saturday. So we need to decide, is it going to be Friday and Monday or Thursday and Friday? The days in here are right. So Christmas is on a Saturday. So which 2 days do we want?
Now, I'm recommending Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday. Mm-hmm. So December 24th and December 23rd. So we cross off the 27th.
Everybody get that? Yeah, Christmas time is kind of a bad time for me to lose a day on the dark too. So I have a conversation.
Facing this, I'm asking one department head.
Well, the police are going to be some kind of
for us. I'll tell you right now, we get more work done on Monday than any other day.
Yeah, right. Did you hear that?
Yes.
I can vouch for all of us. We get more work done at town hall on a Monday than we do on a Friday. Thursday, so if we're going to be off on Friday, we're not going to do, I mean, it's just one of those things, going into a weekend or a holiday, we tend to get less work done, we always dive right into it on Mondays, at least that's what I've noticed here, so. I think Thursday and Friday would be great.
It's really small, it's only going to be one person on duty, so they're going to be on duty. Regardless,
if you're more comfortable, we can do this next month. I mean, we've got 347 shots.
What would do that? My recommendation. I feel bad if we can let somebody have next
week. We should make this discussion.
So this table is still next council meeting, right?
And ask all the departments to.
Yeah, so it's just not one.
I was going for you, man.
I'll tell you what.
I'm getting a kiss.
Number nine, discussion and consideration of additionally appointing the Economic Development Committee status to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Thomas, Mr. Botta pointed out to me last month that among the committees that were listed to get these reports, P&Z was excluded. So what I'd like to do is make a motion that we include P&Z in that process.
Second.
Work product of the Economic Development Committee. Has there been any decision by council on what they want done with the Economic Development Committee?
Not until we hear back from the other committees. That's the way we will decide.
The other committees are going to decide the life of the existing committee. Okay.
So they're going to act upon the information that was submitted to the council, and they, some of which overlap things they were already working on, and come back to the council with a list of priorities. It would be helpful if somebody from the Economic Development Committee actually went to these other committees and went through the information that whatever it is that they're looking at. It's amazing that individual committees who've never attended another committee's meetings are having input and making decisions on information that took a group of citizens a year to put together with the help of an outside professional institution, and yet those committees haven't had a chance to have access to the committee that actually did the work. It's a little confusing.
I mean, Jim, you can go to any committee meeting you want.
I don't know when you're having these meetings.
Now you're going to need it to regularly schedule time with the committees, except for one joint meeting, which we haven't scheduled yet, but the committees have requested that we schedule it February 10th. But all of them are public meetings that anybody can attend.
This is a motion referencing the Planning and Zoning Commission. The way I understand that is that we're going to receive, since I haven't heard anything about this, we're going to receive some information that put together by the Economic Development Committee in terms of reports or that sort of thing, and then you want us to respond to that. I don't believe we've got any direction from the Planning and Zoning as to what you want from us.
Well, actually, there's four reports that's passed out to the committee, not just the EDC. And so the way they're working is you should get that same information in the four reports and bring those back to the recommendations from those. They're actually picking up a lot of recommendations. I've heard so far it's coming from the other committees, not the other reports, more than the EDC committee. So I think that's your basis that we're taking EDC fair enough. After they're going over all we had six studies or something, but I think they're working with four of them. The NPO, EDC, North Carolina State, the previous Sawyer, and a previous one to that. So they have all that information. So now the EDC should get all that information to do the same thing.
So you want input from the EDC?
What do you want input from regarding how to implement the, just what some direction would be?
Here, I'm going to ask as part of, we were approached by some other committees today asking about this too. So we basically what we're saying is that the EDC submitted to council several reports that included ideas and recommendations concerning parking, traffic, beach access, beautification, and the appearance of the town, marketing Curie Beach as a tourist destination, and ways to promote the economic development of Curie Beach. Many or all of these recommendations overlap with work already underway or in discussion among the various town committees. The council requests that the committees undertake the following. Review and discuss the reports submitted to determine the feasibility and desirability of suggestions or recommendations in those reports. Evaluate the report recommendations in comparison to similar or overlapping ideas already under consideration. And as may be affected by existing laws and ordinances, this is where y'all would particularly come in. The committees are asked to prepare a list of recommendations the committee wants the council to pursue. The committee should rank the list in order of importance or preference. If cost estimates are available, the committee should include them with the list. The council would like committee action as soon as possible. A preliminary list of committee recommendations should be available for the March 2010 council meeting. So, and we'll get a copy of this.
Okay, that's fine. That explains everything there.
But that's what we're basing that. Well, we're taking the information that the EDC collected and passed on to the council in October and in November. And all of this ties into what the committees are already doing. So the logical step is to allow those committees to look at this. Some of this stuff, there may be some ideas that they really want us to pursue. They may be working on, I know that Tony's committee was already working on parking ideas and on crosswalks and things like that, some of which are included in the MPO study. So
So there is a fair amount of overlap there. So the idea is to take the reports already submitted to the council by DDC, send them out to the committees, ask the committees to look at them, come up with a list of the things they think we should pursue in some order of preference, and then the council can decide what the next step is. The next step may be to send some of it back to the EDC. The next step may be send some of it back, you know, to the committees, or there may be some things that we can act upon immediately. I think the SLAP committee is very close to coming to us with some recommendations for some pedestrian crosswalk things that were part of the MTO study. So that's the idea behind this. That's where we're headed. And I think it's appropriate, and I'd like to, so in addition to the motion to send the reports to P&Z, which was an omission on my part last time, I wrote down the list of committees and just forgot P&Z. But that we also send this list, and if y'all have any suggestions or additions to this, please make them, but send this to the committees as guidance. And the last thing that it says here at the bottom is that this is intended to be a review and study process. Recommendations may be added or dropped as the process proceeds, depending on the feasibility, desirability, and the availability of funding. It's a way to move the process forward.
Okay, thank you. We're trying to get, you know, the investment that the town made in a professional study, we're trying, you know, to get everything we can out of it to the committees, make sure they're all working.
Yes. No, we certainly appreciate that. We were just kind of left out of the loop, and this is the first time we've heard of it right here. So, you know, that's why we're dealing with Commissioner Fullerton, who has to explain what you're looking for there.
Yes, Jim.
Dean, Chuck was talking about though on the studies that I guess some committees got a hold of that are also part of this process of reviewing. So is planning and zoning Chuck going to get all those other studies as well? Because Tim is talking only about EDC. He's not mentioning any of the other work that was done in the years past. So.
Well, and you're right, but the EDC has on your website, on your webpage, you know, the Main Street report that was done 4 or 5 years ago. So, you know, the intent is that everything that's all collected and put together, that it go out to the committees for them to look at. And some of it is years past that, you know, that y'all simply just took from the archives and put into the hopper. So, you know, that's what the idea is.
You're trying to get the most out of the, you know, the EDC's work.
Okay.
So,
your motion?
The motion is to add P&Z to the list of committees that we referred reports to in December, and that we send, ask the clerk to distribute to all the committees a copy of these directives. Did you get a copy of this? Thank you.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The ayes have it. Number 10. Discussion and consideration of agenda review meeting schedule, staff and council. This is something that we did years ago that we'd like to bring it back. I think it's
well, I was surprised to hear that you had already brought it back. I think this is something that council needs to discuss. But I like, I think the mayor would like to start having the staff meetings again. And so what we need to do is, when should they be held, and who should
be held? I would like to make a motion that we revive the staff department head committee meetings the Monday before town council meetings. That this would be for discussion of the agenda, and just like this evening when Sonny had something to put in there, and you know, the rest of it would have a chance to hear any acts and either discuss. That's very cool.
Would we select two council members?
Yeah,
we
only need two council members.
And rotate it.
Just like we did before.
Yeah, that's it.
So this is going to be once a month?
Once a month, the Monday before the town council meeting.
Who were you sharing the meetings?
Isn't Nanny there?
we can just put it as a senior elected representative.
Let's
if you can, you can be the secretary now.
Didn't we take turns?
Yeah.
We just, you know, one of the staff, one of the department heads,
we were there to mainly observe and throw in council input as part of it if they were drifting from council wishes.
Right. So make the main motion say rotating the department head
for chair.
Somebody did a good job.
We started out with the weekly five.
We did. But then we had one that was in the council.
I said, is there any problems coming up that we will know about the first time? I said, it seems addressing the council tonight is something that, of course, we're going to put it back on the agenda. But it's just a pre-agenda meeting, same thing the county commissioners have. That everybody, you know, all the department is familiar with the agenda, and if it affects them, they can make it up.
I may be wrong, we have the meeting every Monday, and it would rotate amongst the boards.
We did, yeah.
Just one board member.
And I think with the work discussions I've had with the department heads, I think it's once a month or something.
That's good for me.
And then I think it needs to be weekly.
No, that's fine.
But that, my suggestion was once a month, rotate. And the department heads can rotate and choose the chairman of the meeting.
Can we always elect Sunday?
Yeah. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify and say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, I'll move that. And this,
did you give me the
piece? Yes.
Yes, we did.
I thought we put it in.
Okay. No, we discussed it earlier, but we didn't do eight.
I thought we already hammered that. Number eight, can we go back?
Well, I just was going to ask the council to, we have a number of applications, I think it's like 5, 6, 7. Here, this is the committee.
That was going back in the right name or
does this mean that we'll all have to be there or not?
All of them. That's, what's the pleasure of the council?
I would assume. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I guess at least a forum.
Unless it's on the whole day.
So we're going to have we need to advertise for a
meeting. So we need 2 weeks.
For a special meeting, you only need 48 hours.
If we wanted to have a work session,
mm-hmm.
we need 2 weeks.
Nope. It's still a special. It's special meeting or work session, about the same thing.
All right.
Then you need 48 hours.
It's open to the public?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Thank you. It will be open to the public. The interviews will be conducted in open. And I would suggest if y'all have some questions for folks that you'd like to ask.
Be there to ask.
Thank you. I would still like to have more notice than 2 days. So.
Well, next week is completely open as far as meetings goes, with the exception of Board of Adjustments at 7:30.
And then the following week is all the committee meetings, isn't it?
Well, pretty much predominantly on Tuesday.
What about Thursday, January 28th?
Do any of the apps say anything about any special time restraints?
I will call all of them.
Do Thursday evening.
Okay.
If it's during the day, yes.
How about Wednesday, February 3rd?
You're meeting on the 1st, yeah.
That's fine.
That's fine.
I would like to make a motion that the council schedule a work session for Wednesday, February 3rd at 6:30 p.m. for the purposes of conducting interviews for appointment to the Citizens Budget and Advisory Committee, and ask the clerk to advertise the same.
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Clerk, advertise. Item number 11. To schedule a joint meeting of SLAT Reputation and KB Marketing Advisory Committees. In the date, February 10th. Mr. Fuller.
This is a request from these three committee chairs, and they had wanted to schedule this meeting and neglected to do so at their regularly scheduled meetings. And I checked with the attorney, and he said that the council can schedule this meeting for them for February 10th. At what time?
I did it at 2 p.m., but if it's the council can't go.
And the purpose?
On the purpose? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, when we had the first meeting, we misunderstood councils, and we had a meeting to talk about SLAP and beautification and advisory on all the studies that we had, and we misunderstood of how it was supposed to be. We had a meeting, it was open to the public, and there was a consensus taken that we would have another one with all the members of the three committees. Four now, P&Z, that was an oversight on my part, and that's when we came up with that date to have a meeting to discuss all the plans that are out there. And we made it for 2 o'clock. That was because that the council wanted us to have the results for the February 16th meeting, but you're moving that back till the March meeting.
That's because there's been some confusion.
Yes. So we were going to...
That date still suits you?
The February 10th? Yes, it does, but the council can't make it, or they have to make it later.
Well, we don't necessarily have to be there. Did you expect us to...
Oh, no. No, we can have that meeting.
I just thought that if you wanted to come with that date would be fine.
For a meeting of this importance, do we need to ask the clerk to take the minutes of it? Do you think this is a joint meeting, or do you?
Do you get the minutes of the last meeting?
From SAC committee?
It was from Priscilla. She took the minutes from me.
For December? Oh, the joint meeting?
Yeah, the joint meeting.
I did.
You did. So you have
the
minutes from last meeting?
Yes, I did.
So if I may, I amend my motion to schedule a special meeting of the four committees for February 10th, 2010 at 2 p.m. at the town hall.
Mm-hmm.
That the clerk be authorized to advertise and the clerk attend and record the minutes of that meeting. And the purpose is to discuss the reports that have been referred to the committee's individual.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Item 12 is one that I had in and it was called training. Island Lights. I can't read on right. The Island Lights approached us, and it doesn't have to be happening on right now, but I think anybody that's been associated with the Island Lights realizes that their electrician, his name is Bob, has retired. And what they're requesting is the assistance of Carolina Beach and Fury Beach when the lights are put up. They also would like to, and this is up to council, they have left some catalogs for Christmas lights, and they would like to add one, two, or even three new Christmas displays in Fury Beach, and they would like to have them somewhere that would be agreeable to the council. So this is just something for y'all to start milling around. We've got, you know, a little while that she has got to put on by Larry Paul in March, so we'll put it on the agenda for next month. And if y'all can be thinking about this, the catalog is in my office, and y'all are welcome to go through the budget restraints. I think Jim said they're not going to ever spend any more at the most than $8,000 for new displays. There's a catalog in here that shows the prices. If y'all have time to put through there, we'll put on next month's agenda. I appreciate it.
They're asking us for the $8,000?
No, ceremony.
Okay.
But that's just, you know, there's some of the displays are $50,000. They want us to be kind of concerning. We need some input from you next through Jim. If you would have time to help them do that, they're feelings on it, and Caroline talking with the mayor of Carolina Beach and the town manager of Carolina Beach, and their budget and their board ball revitalization committee is, it is part of the Christmas season. It's something that we don't want to kind of fall by the wayside, but we need to input how much you think you could dedicate time and man-wise, something like that.
Is Carolina Church public employees putting up the island?
That's what they're asking us to consider.
They want us to put
the lost place up down there.
Around
the lake. Around the lake.
Down here.
You need to, if you will, let Jim know if you need in schedule time you would have to do this. And if you can get the chairman of the Island Lights of this here in Fury Beach, and I give you her number, and I think you can check with her and see what they're expecting. Yes, sir.
Having been involved in setting them up several years, it's a pretty good choice.
Well, I understand. We've got quite a few here at Fury Beach.
I know.
Every year.
And
we spend about 2 months every year, almost maybe. Yeah, I don't know how many man hours we spend redoing our lights every year. So you don't have to tell me what kind of.
No, I know. I bring it up so everybody here knows what.
I understand that, Jim. I'll tell you.
It's a lot of work.
Certainly is.
But the gentleman who's been helping them, and I think he was
So I don't understand. I really don't understand. I mean, if their electrician is retired, I can understand them having, you know, a need for electrician. But for actually installing
the extra. Let me explain.
Okay.
Lucy. Bob, along with all the crew that he'd been working with, have been doing this for 10, 15 years maybe. And they all have just gotten to the point to where they're through, they've done enough and it's time for some new blood to take it over. Yep. And that's the situation that they're at right now. Mm-hmm. And they don't seem to be able to find any.
This is where it's going to look at.
I just didn't understand.
Yeah.
I didn't understand everybody.
No. Yeah, well, yeah.
It's pretty much
Bob set up all of it. He had them all in his head, how they all go this way or where. He led the crew and set it all up.
It's a job. I did it for many years. I just don't have any more time. But it's a compact trailer that's in Carolina Beach. All the decorations are in there, vertical. What they did, we went there, we picked out each different, you know, scene, put it on a flatbed, drove it over to the lake, drove around the lake, installed it, came back, put in all the fencing around each of this display.
They need you to help on the Antonio, because I understand one of the displays got in the lake this year.
Well, who's going to maintain these things?
This is the setup. I need the yin and yang of this before we
go. They install them every year. Yeah. It's not the problem. Maintain these things every year.
They want all the time. They can check them.
Yeah. They had the ladies come in to be bold.
Are they retired too?
The ladies?
Yeah.
Well, no, but they were.
It was basically two lead men. One died last year, and Bob, this is.
Well, I can understand the
issues. Yeah.
So, Bob was in the supplies. Carolina Beach supplies one man, and Terry Musical supplies
No.
Well, I'll be glad to talk to her.
I mean, that's super common. Say this wrong with practitioner, and I'm sure it's with
you. I love it.
Jim can let us know what y'all work out. Right, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, that's today in town hall, and why I'm bringing this up is, you know, we've always said this, and everybody in town hall is cross-trained, and we're in a little bit of an odd situation with our finance officer being out on maternity leave. And at the same time, her assistant is going to a continuing education class. And when the mayor put him, brought up the point that he needed to find some records, that they would be returned to the vault and have me checked out. We don't have, even though we're cross-trained, we need to make sure that the schedule doesn't interfere with the work of the town. And it was very irritating to me to find out that they wanted someone here to actually check the records out, even though they were, I thought, public records. I would just like to bring up if we're going to do any more, you know, maternity leaves, whatever, I don't know how many more we'll have of those, but we need to make sure the departments can function at any time. And we've got a downtime here. She's going to stay late or come in early and make copies of what Chuck needs. But I don't think this is something we need to continue to do.
The question is, maybe I didn't get enough information. These are records?
Financial records pertaining to...
Is this information that you're the keeper of?
Well, Jennifer keeps a separate set of records, her finance records, and she follows the retention schedule. But at any given time, she can go into the vault and look in my records, but it's one of those things where I won't ever pull records from her files. I'll see if I can find them. Now, I may pull something out, make a copy, but it's one of those things where I think it's just a mutual respect between our two offices that I'm not going to mess in her files and she's not going to go into my files. And today was just kind of a weird situation. I had no idea any of this happened because I had been in the FEMA training today. If you had pulled me, I could have certainly because y'all knew right where they were. I guess somebody put them right in one of the cabinets that was in my vault.
Sure that they were returned.
Yeah.
And not left out when the general public could see them.
Yeah, and I don't know all the dynamics of how this worked out, but at any given time, I could have come in there and, you know, assisted with that. But
in that instance, like that case, you know, you're going out of town.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, the town still has to function. So
certainly.
Yeah, so any of these functions, y'all need to realize.
Yeah.
Well, now, however, my department is separate from them. That is something I have had school scheduled. This was a last minute thing for Mandy. So definitely that's something that needs to be addressed within that department.
Yeah, we need to look a little bit farther in the future next time, make sure that with cross training, somebody's here to take care of the town's business.
But keep in mind, if I am gone, those file cabinets are off limits. If I am at school training, they're off limits because, I mean, truthfully, unless you guys designate somebody else as a quote unquote deputy clerk,
right.
They're closed. And so, thankfully, all of my week-long training is done and over with, so we don't have to worry about that right now. But, you know, it's one of those things where I think, just like I would be very protective of my files, which are the town files, I'm very protective of them. So I think that that's where they were. But, however, we got that situation worked out. Chuck's given it to me. I will make copies of it. But, you know,
we have worked it out, but I don't want to see this situation come up again.
Well, that's definitely within their department.
Based on my experience and probably Tim's also, one of the problems that we have had and are historically going to continue to have, being a small town, is you don't have the ability to have the coverage.
Well, we can designate a deputy clerk, just like I said, and that discussion has come up before. And we can designate and take that designation away anytime we want. So, you know, rather than have a conflict of scheduling, let's make sure the town's business proceeds, because he only stays 1 to 4 hours a day, and when he's late, we need all we can get out of it.
I will say, the majority of the records that I have are actually available on the server. I don't know if that's the same for the finance department. And it's just so at ease I can find them and electronically get them to you guys. So at any time, you know.
The records, yeah, that's relevant. The records you need weren't yours. The records that people are being paid by the state.
But that's in their department. So definitely, if you guys want me to pass this along to Jennifer, I'll be happy to do that.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
That was it. Anything else to come before the council?
Oh.
Yes, you have something
that we have discussed. Humbly apologize somehow, I didn't get on. That's the parking stuff. I would like to make a motion that council accept the parking study.
I thought that was in the consent agenda.
It's on the consent agenda.
It's in the consent agenda.
Well, then I did do what I said. Yeah,
item number 5.
I make a motion. We adjourn.
Second. I'm one of the ones. That's all.